Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome, everybody. We're here live tonight, and it is Wednesday. It's, hang on a second. No, to that text. No, thank you. You can go a different way if you want. All right, everybody. Welcome to the show tonight. Wow. Good to be here. It is Thursday night, and going to be doing it. Yeah. Okay, hang on just a moment. Be right there with you. We are doing live stuff tonight, as usual, so don't quite have the video ready yet. I'm almost sure that will be ready next week. This weekend's going to be putting finishing touches on it, so we can begin to do that, so it's exciting. Yep, at least we'll do the blow of the doorpost next week. We don't have a long video. We're going to get it started and get rolling with it and test everything, get it, make sure it's rolling good. All right, so thanks for prayer for that, and other than that, hopefully everybody's doing good. If you're having any kind of a struggle or battle, we want to pray for you and believe God with you to get your answer from the Lord, right? Not just from people, but from the Lord, not from yourself, but from the Lord, right? That's what we want. So welcome to the place where we believe God for that. All right. You never know what we're going to talk about. I never really know always know what we're going to talk about. I don't always know. Sometimes I know a little bit, but it's just interesting how I really love the fact that we can just talk about everything and whatever comes up, we can talk about it without having to go through hoops and jumping through hoops to make sure everybody approves, right? And everybody has their own show. They can do whatever God's leading them to do and learn to be led by the Lord. It's really, really cool how all that works. And, yeah. Okay. Give me a second. I've got a couple things I want to do. All right. If you want to give tonight, just let me know. We can help you set it up if you'd like. Do it through PayPal. You can do it through. Hang on a second here. Yeah, you can do. Okay. Right. All right. You can give different ways. PayPal, Cash App is one of them that we've done recently. Venmo. You can do Venmo. You can also do Zelle, which is through your bank account. All that's through the phone number. 214-505-8719. If you want to do Cash App, Venmo, or the Zelle, which is through the banking system, and or you can do PayPal. And if you need to do PayPal, want to do PayPal, if you need the link for that, if this link that you have isn't working well, send me a little request for that, and I'll send it to you. That way you can have it right there for you. And all right, very good. Let's see here. Okay, just a minute here. All right. Here we go. Very cool. I'm setting up some things here and getting things rolling. I'll be right there with you. All right, praise God. So let's see what we got going on tonight here and see if the Lord speaks to us or makes speaks to somebody tonight about what's going on in their life. You know, one of the things I've really been, God's really been helping me with, I think it maybe will help you too. You know, if you really, you don't want to go far with the Lord, you don't want anything to stop you from reaping the best of the best that God has for you. There's just things that, different ways of thinking that keep us from, you know, the best that God has for us. And so so I'm really been pressing in the Lord to give me the fullest of the best of the best of what he has for me, for you, for us, so that we don't miss out on one little blessing. We don't come short of the glory. With me lately, it's been about coming short of the glory. The Lord's really been dealing with me about not coming short of the glory on a quite regular basis. And so, and because of that, it's been very interesting how that he is dealing with me about things. He's been bringing things to me. I've talked a little bit about this before, but maybe you'll be interested in hearing it again a little bit. I'm going to add a little bit to it. But like Joseph and his brothers, you know, when they were betraying him and conspiring against him and, you know, getting rid of him, just like with Jesus, the same thing. Jesus was being betrayed. He was being beaten and whipped. We're going to take communion tonight. That's why I really want to talk about this tonight a little bit, because it's about forgiveness. It's about what makes it easy to forgive, right? What makes it easy to forgive? And that's been the big question before me, because I'm starting to see things I've never seen before in why Jesus was able to forgive, why Joseph was able to forgive, why people in the Bible who, their family, you know, the family members, there's some of Jesus' brothers that didn't like him, never did like him, never did think he was, you know, who he was. Some did, some didn't. So, and then he had his brothers in the spirit, you know, the Jewish brethren, the leadership, who they were all brothers. They were all from the same, you know, they're from Israel. And the big thing was that Jesus understood things that I think sometimes we don't connect quite well enough to really understand, you know, why he was so able to forgive the, I mean, if anybody had a reason to have forgiveness, if that's possible, it would be him, right? He was put in a position to where even his own disciples ended up, you know, walking out on him and hiding and running and hiding. And so I think he already knew that was going to happen. I think that was part of the reason he was able to forgive them, you know, and understand them, because he knew that what he was doing was far beyond what had ever been done before. And it entailed the fact that he had to be, you know, betrayed and denied by his own brethren. That's just the way God set it up. God set it up like that so that because the Jews had to be, number one, the Jews had to be the one that offered Jesus up. You know, we've talked about that before. The Jews had to be the one. They were the only ones that could kill him and do it with, you know, with God's approval and God's, the legal end of the sacrificial offerings that were done had to be done through the high priest, through the priestly ministry. And if it hadn't been done through that, it wouldn't have been, we wouldn't have a savior. We'd have just had a Jewish man, Jesus, who died, who was sinless. And he would have been, you know, if he would have died any other way than the way he was, the way he died, the way he was set up and killed, you know, so he offered up his life, but the way they conspired against him, the whole thing. And had they not done that, had that not happened, we wouldn't have a savior to it. And that's what the world is going to have to get a hold of, is that. And so there's ways that God's been showing me how to forgive when you start seeing what Jesus saw and Jesus knew. You can understand why he was able to forgive the worst things that could ever happen to a man were happening to him. He was a sinless, perfect. His motives were always pure. He never did anything for himself, you know, and he was the most perfect, sinless, beautiful man that's ever lived in the earth, even beyond Adam and Eve. And here, his own brothers, his own family, his own blood betrayed him, set him up, and then killed him. I mean, you got to think about this. This is amazing. So, and when Jesus hung on the cross, he was able to say, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. But he knew what they were doing. They didn't know what they were doing. They were blind. They were ignorant. They didn't know that the Father was having them do just like Abraham did, except the circumstances were a little bit different. I wouldn't compare the leadership that crucified him, compared it to Abraham, because Abraham represents the father. But it was a Jewish culture. It was the Jewish people. It was the Jewish religion. It was God's sons and daughters in the natural realm that he had made a covenant with, that he had chosen as his, you know, adopted, if you will, and became his. They had to be the ones to do the dirty work. Nobody else could do it. Nobody else was chosen to do it. They were chosen. And when you find out sometimes what it's like to be chosen, being chosen means you may be chosen to do some things that God may use you. He may just decide to use you in a way that you think, I didn't want to be used like that. What happened? But when you say, God, you can use me, God, use me, then he may use you in ways you never dreamed he would. And so the same thing happened. That's what happened to Jacob. Jacob was not Jacob himself, the person, but Jacob, who had the 12 tribes, who was called Israel. His name was changed to Israel. His children, you know, that was Israel. That was Israel, the 12 tribes. And they were perfect. And so just like with Joseph, the same scenario where Jacob's sons, which is Israel, betray Joseph, Israel, the Jewish people, the Jewish leadership, the Jewish, you know, and all the tribes, most of all of them, not all of them were in agreement with it, but some of the brothers were not in agreement with taking Joseph down like that, and they tried to stop it, but most of them were. Why were they mean, dirty people? had being God's people gone to their head, you know? No, I mean, yeah, but no. Of course it went to their heads sometimes. But they were chosen. When you're chosen, little did they realize they were chosen to literally kill the Lamb of God. all the priesthood with Moses was set up where the priest killed the lamb. Little did they realize that that lamb that was symbolic of what was going to happen in the future, they hadn't put all that together yet. They did not know what that meant. They did not know that that was going to be one of their brothers, that one day they would say, crucify him, the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the earth. They did not realize when Moses set all that up, I don't think Moses understood that the lamb and the sacrificial part, that that one day was going to be a person, but it wasn't just going to be any person. It was going to be one of them. In the sense that he was a Jew, an Israelite. And that one day, they would be the ones who would cause the Roman emperor and the, you know, the system, because they couldn't kill him. It was against their own law to kill him. So they had to have, have a hitman. They had a hitman. And even the hitman said he's innocent. Even the hitman tried to say, look, let him go. He didn't. There's nothing wrong with this man. I find no guilt. I find nothing wrong with him. Why are you doing this? And they said, yeah, we don't care. Crucify him. Why were they so hostile toward Jesus? Because they didn't realize that they were playing a role, just like when they were in the temple before Jesus came, and even while Jesus was living, when Jesus brought his own lamb to be offered up, I think he started realizing that was going to be him. I think he had little pictures of that. I really don't know how that went. But I think when he took the lamb, you know, with his family, and he was a young boy, and, you know, a father's business, I think when they, you know, the family, you went as a family, you did it as a family, you took that lamb as a family. I think somehow he began to connect to that lamb. I don't know exactly how. He probably befriended the lamb probably more than the other brothers did. And little did they realize lamb was going to be a human being that was going to be truly God's son, truly, purely created by God in the womb of a virgin. And they were the ones who were going to take his blood from his body and offer him up and burn him parts, you know, and then later eat the lamb, the priesthood. They didn't realize that that was going to be one of their brothers. So when Jesus came along and he knew the scripture, he explained to them on the road to Emmaus when he rose again from the dead, and they were all concerned, you know, we thought he was the Messiah. Nobody had still, they still hadn't gotten it yet, that he was the lamb, that the Moses, that Moses was talking about, and everything God set up through Moses and all the priests had been doing for many years. They didn't realize that he was that lamb, and everything they did then was fulfilled. But Jesus understood it because he tried to explain to them on the road to Emmaus, don't you know that I've been telling you for years that you he had to suffer and die? And they said their hearts burned within them when they listened to him talk about it. He showed them all the scriptures. He didn't get that after he died on the cross. He got that before. Friend, what we're going with this tonight is what's going to make it easy for you to forgive those who do you wrong? Are you really in the Romans 8 realm? Are you truly? Maybe you're not in the Romans 8 realm. Maybe you're not. Maybe you just count yourself out on that one where it says all things work together for those who are called according to his purpose, who love God and are called according to his purpose. Maybe you're not in that. Maybe I'm not in it. Maybe not. So you either are or you're not. And if you are, you're going to have to understand this in order to truly know how God's going to take it and work it together for your good. When Jesus was being betrayed by Judas, getting ready to deliver him up after he'd gotten by so many times from those who tried to kill him, prematurely. He got by with it. He slipped right through them. And then not this one. When this one came along, when they took the Lord's Supper, when they ate the Passover, and Judas ate with already in his heart to betray Jesus, and because he had already decided to betray Jesus, when they ate the bread basically opened them up for Satan to enter into him. That was all not an accident. That wasn't Satan getting involved in something he should have been. That was the act of God, and that's how powerful communion is, friend. That Judas himself came unclean, totally unclean, and ate his body and drank his blood, condemning himself, knowing in his heart that he wasn't right, and he did it anyway. That's why the Bible says, well, examine yourself before you do. What's your real motive? What are you doing? Are you killing yourself? Are you blessing yourself? Well, which one are you doing? That's what we got to think about. Well, so forgiveness doesn't send you to hell. Being born again, not being born again, that's what sends you to hell, friend. Having unforgiveness doesn't send you to hell. It just keeps you from entering into the fullness of what God has for you. You become blinded by it. Therefore, even though you're born again, you're blinded by unforgiveness. And therefore, you miss, and you keep missing. And when you keep missing, you miss the mark. Not for salvation, but for your purpose in life in the earth. So I'm here tonight to tell you things God's been telling me on how to make sure that you don't, it's not about going to heaven. It has nothing to do with going to heaven. You're born again, you're going to heaven. I don't care if you got unforgiveness in your heart right now. You died, you go to heaven. The Father not forgiving you has nothing to do. When you get born again, it's not about forgiveness. It's about being born again. Are you forgiven? Yes, you're forgiven of being a sinner. You're not forgiven of in particular sins you're doing. You are forgiven for being a sinner, and therefore you are born again. You didn't sit there and say, oh, did I confess all my sins? Maybe I didn't confess all my sins, and that's why I didn't get born again. It has nothing to do with confessing sin. It has to do with confessing that you are a sinner. And that you as a person have to be born anew by the Holy Ghost. Once that's done, your unforgiveness, what it does, the reason I'm talking about this tonight isn't because you're going to go to hell for having it. You may live in hell on the earth as far as being cast out from the body of Christ and the protection of the church. Like when Paul says, you know, give them over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh so his spirit will be saved. You know, in other words, put the pressure on him big time. Regular pressure is not going to get this guy. He's going to have to be put without where he has no safety, he has no protection, and it's going to freak him out, and he's going to get right with God. That was the strategy. The strategy was not to torment him, to torture him and make him feel bad and everybody go, oh, look at that bad boy. It had to do with Paul was concerned about that boy. He didn't care what sin he did. It's not about what sin you do. That you did or didn't get forgiveness of it, so you got saved. You got saved, but you got forgiven of being a sinner. There's some people who've never really, there's some great people who probably never sinned a real sin in their life, maybe a thought in their mind against their mama one day when the mama said something ugly to them. There's some people that really have lived great lives and going to church all their life. Betty Robinson, James Robinson's wife, was one of them. They said she was the purest person. Everybody thought she was the purest person in the whole world. She realized one day a Holy Spirit conviction hit her, and she realized she wasn't saved. She was just living by her, and she was a good, good girl. She didn't get saved because she had one bad sin. She got right with God, and that saved her. She got saved because even as a good, goody, 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 good person, she realized that she herself was a sinner. And when you're a sinner, as a person, as a whole being, you need to be born again. It's not forgiveness of sin that gets you saved, friend. It's forgiveness of being a sinner does. And then the Holy Spirit comes in and births your spirit brand new. And then you begin to live your life out learning how to forgive.
learning how to, because unforgiveness will keep you from walking in the fullness of what God asked for. You'll come short every time. Every time you'll come up short. Why? Unforgiveness is one of the big ones. That's why you said the Father don't forget. That's why Jesus made a big deal out of it. It's not about going to hell. You don't go to hell for sin. You go to hell for not being born again, for being a sinner. Even though you may not ever really, quote, sinned, you know. There's some good people out there. She was one of them. She was one of many. Many people live very righteous lives, and they're not born again. Just good people. And they go to hell. Not because they had sin, but because they were a sinner who's a good person. So we gotta get that straight. So what I'm talking about tonight is, I don't want to get too distracted on that, because I want to go somewhere tonight as we take communion tonight. I want to take you somewhere that we've kind of been before, but I want to kind of take it to another level. Jesus was able to forgive because he knew that when he was being whipped and beaten, you know, he understood his being whipped and beaten with a cat of nine tails was supposed to happen to him, that he was going to be betrayed by the chief priest. He told him before, and long before it was going to happen. He knew all this is going to go on. So while it was going on, God's will was being done. And the reason he could forgive them, because he knew that God was using them, just like God used Abraham to offer up Isaac, kill his own son. I hope you're getting this tonight, because we're going to go somewhere that may change your life and make it easy for you to forget. You'll be like, blink, blink, no problem. When before, it may take you days and weeks and months, and sometimes you never do really forgive, because you don't understand what I'm going to tell you tonight. Jesus was sitting there betrayed by his brothers, by his brethren, by the Jewish people. The priest, high priest, even prophesied, he's going to die. They all said, crucify him, crucify him. That was his brothers doing that. Why? Because they were the ones that were supposed to be doing it. And he knew that when he stood up there and they were saying to him, we're going to let Barabbas go or we're going to let Jesus go. Barabbas was a nasty, dirty thief, bum. That's the way everybody looked at him. He was a worthless piece of trash standing there that the whole community, even the Romans, didn't like. They wanted him killed because he was a pain in the neck. He's a dirty, nasty person as far as, you know, the law goes. And Jesus standing there, the pure and innocent Son of the living God, knowing him standing there watching them go, well, when Pilate says, you know, which one do you want? Judas, Barabbas, the really nasty, evil, bad person who's a stench in your community, the Jewish community, or do you want Jesus, the innocent man of God, to be let go today by him? And Jesus sat there and watched them in rage, out of their minds, saying, crucify him. We want Barabbas. Let Jesus be crucified. Of course, there were a few out there in the crowd that didn't want him crucified. Absolutely. But you have to see, he understood when they were doing it that it was the will of the Father and that the Father was instigating the whole thing so that he would be the Savior of the world. When he was being beaten and whipped and torn to shreds with a cat of nine tails, he knew the reason he willingly went, because he knew that by each stripe that he got, though as painful as it was, though as devastating as it was, though the blood splattered everywhere and they were mocking and laughing and demons were just mocking and laughing, we got you now, you prophet. Prophesy to us now, Jesus, because we got you now. You're going down. You're going to bleed to death by doing this one thing. You're not making it to the cross. You're going to die right here. Because it was the most torturous, bloody, rip you to pieces thing that ever went on to a human being. And the whole time, each stripe that was stricken on his back and hit the sides of his belly and wrapped around his legs and hit the back of his head and ripped his neck open, each one that hit him was saying, somebody's disease is going to be healed. Somebody's life is going to be changed. And when they pressed the crown of thorns down on his head, friend, they weren't saying, they were mocking and laughing. But Jesus knew when they were doing that, that that was his Father's will, and that's what he said yes to in the Garden of Gethsemane. He wasn't saying yes to pain and suffering. He was saying yes to everything they had to do to shed his blood and tear him to pieces so that you and I could be born again. And it was, for the most part, the instigation of his Jewish brethren. And the Father God was behind the whole thing. The Holy Ghost was setting it all up. And that's why he could forgive them, friend. On the cross, when he was suffocating to death and bleeding out and mocking him, they were mocking and laughing at him and sneering at him. And, you thought you'd really, you got by a lot of time, but we finally planned it. We overcame you. We overcame you. We're bigger, better, smarter than you. We got you, Jesus. Yeah, you thought you were going to get by with it. And he's sitting there listening to all that, friend, knowing and then hearing his own brethren come up, the Jewish leadership, the priesthood that worked with Moses and Moses' law and did everything in the law that offered up the lamb. They probably just went through that. It was Passover time. They were fixing to go through. They were literally offering up a literal lamb in those few days. And he, knowing that he was being crucified, that the real attention should have been on the Lamb of God that was being put on, nailed to a cross, and that the priesthood, the Senate that came up to him and said to make sure the job was done, was exactly what happened in the tabernacle at the time of Passover when they brought the lambs to make sure it was done right. Yet they didn't have a clue what they were doing. They were getting rid of a guy who was trying to tear up their nation and tear down their temple and destroy it in 3 days and build it back in 3 days. They're getting rid of him. Like they got rid of Joseph. They mocked Joseph. They said, let's see your dreams come to pass now, boy. And they threw him down, sold him out. Joseph said later on, he realized, why was he able to forgive his brothers for what they did? That was a horrible thing, and they mocked him and laughed him and said, let's see what goes on with your dreams now, favorite son. You ever heard that put in your ears like that, friend, and had stuff like that happen to you? You know how devastatingly horrible that is to forgive that? Once you got that in you, you never forget that. You never forget that. Your own blood. One thing for somebody else to do it. It's another thing for your own blood to do it. His own brethren. The 12 tribes were saying, crucify Joseph. Most of them. And later, Joseph was able to forgive them. Why? He said, because what you meant was, he didn't deny it. He said, what you did, you meant it for evil. You meant it for evil. You were instigated. But yet God meant it for good. Wasn't some accident where God said, they got carried away. Joseph opened his big mouth. Well, let's just turn that out for good. What do you say? Yeah, we can make that turn out for good. No, he planned the whole thing, strategized it. And Joseph later was able to forgive his brothers. As he said, brothers, don't worry. They kept thinking, even with Jacob, their father, came and he was prophesying all of it. They kept thinking, well, now that daddy's dead, he's probably going to kill us all now. You know why? Because they knew they deserved it. It was horrible. It was the most reckless thing anybody could do to their own family member. And yet Joseph was able to forgive them because he said, brothers, yes, what you meant for evil, just like Jesus, he knew what they were doing was evil. He knew Satan was involved in it. And he was using them, and they were agreeing with it. That was evil of them, of the people, of his brothers. Joseph said, brothers, but God, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. I wouldn't be here right now had you not done that? Oh, thank you. What was he doing? He was telling him that they had a hard time believing it because it was so unbelievable. They were in a state of shock that this even was Joseph. They're going like, what? This is Joseph? Joseph, is that you? Oh, my God, he could kill us. He could take us down. And they knew they deserved it. But yet Jesus, Joseph, was able to forgive them because he knew. He started looking back at the whole thing and all the parts where he had everything that had happened in his life and the time that his father made the coat for him and how it stirred up his brothers. And he started looking back at all that thinking, God was using Daddy to make me that garment to make them all jealous. And then God Almighty gave me the dream so I would tell them the dreams that they're all going to bow down to me and how wonderful it's going to be, knowing. See, he figured it out later, friend. You and I can somehow not wait too late to see it. You'll save a lot of your time living in hell. Not literal hell as a born-again believer, but compared to the blessing God wants to pour out on your life, if you understood what I'm telling you tonight will change your life. It will loosen you and free you like it did Joseph, like it did Jesus. When they were whipping him and tearing his back open and his sides and his belly and ripping his belly open and tearing his skin was so shredded, I think it was like the tassels that hung down from his side. I think they tore him apart so bad that his skin hung down like the tassels. It was a prophetic picture of what, when they came, when they touched the tassels, and they were healed by his stripes, they were healed. Those tassels, I think, were his skin literally hanging down off his back, hanging down below his, below his hips and hanging down in his buttock, just sitting there. Woven with the strategy and the love of Jesus and the Father in his body. And yet he knew he was able to forgive them because he knew it was in the scripture. He knew that was going to happen to him. He knew that touching tassels had very little to do with some garment people make. He knew it had to do with literally his skin was going to be ripped to shreds from his back and hanging. That's why they did his back and ripped his focus on his back, because they were making those tassels so they could fall down and hang down there as a type and shadow, type and shadow to become real. And yet the whole time Jesus is going, this is my Father's word. When he's being betrayed and lied about, conspired against, whipped and beaten to a bloody pulp, every stripe of the cat of nine tails was a prophecy being fulfilled about another disease, friend, being conquered by his body and by his blood being poured out and ripped to shreds. The 39 stripes, minus 40 stripes, minus what, 39, those 39 stripes fulfilled the word of God, making the way for the healing of every disease made known to man that the devil has allowed to come in through all the different ways. Satan didn't know he was making a cat of nine tails out of Jesus' backside. He was going to destroy those diseases at the root. Because Jesus understood the scripture. He knew about Joseph. He read the story over and over and over again. He goes, this is me. This is me. This is me. He understood. He explained to them on the road to Emmaus, I tried to tell you, and I spoke of it, but that the Son of God, the Son of Man, had to be betrayed by his own people. And because he knew this, friend, he could forgive them. He could say, man, because of you guys, I am now not only the Messiah, I am the Savior of the world, and that every stripe, everything that happened, all my blood being shed and my flesh being torn to shreds, yes, it was all horrible, but I knew I had to go through that. And I knew it was in the scripture. I knew it was prophetic. I knew the prophets prophesied that I would go through this. And you think I'm going to reject that? You think I'm going to say those people are bad people? They're evil people for what they've done to me? Yeah, what they do is evil, but he knew that God meant it for good. Oh, man, if that doesn't rock your world, I don't know what can, friend. How can we have unforgiveness toward those? When you start seeing what I'm telling you tonight, you'll know. Somehow along the road of your betrayals and your things that happened in your life that feel like the pain is being driven to your heart to the point you think sometimes you might die. Oh, my God. And you know what they're doing is evil, but at the same time you're going, God, I wouldn't be where I'm at had you not stirred them against me. Thank you, God, for using them, and I thank you, God, and I thank them. I will not have unforgiveness in my heart toward them because I know they were being used by the Father to bring blessing to the whole world. I wouldn't learn what I've learned had I not been smitten by the very people that God chose in my life to bless me and give me what I've got, to take me where I'm going. I wouldn't have it. I wouldn't be here had it not been for those people. Yes, what they did was evil. But when you see it through God's eyes, you start thinking, had it not been for what they did, as evil as it was, I wouldn't be where I'm at. I wouldn't know what I know. I wouldn't be the person that I am that God is making me. Friend, I'm for the first time in my life loving who I am. I was driving my truck a few days ago. I was driving that truck, and I literally told this to God. I told God, I said, God, I'm loving the new me. I'm really loving the new me. And I could never have said that. I love myself to a certain degree, but I don't know. Something's happening. Something's going on. Something, since all this revelation God's given me, is changing my way, the way I see things. And I'm seeing that God orchestrated. How can I hold it against these people if I named them by name? To say, oh, they're evil, bad, and leave it at that. Yeah, what they did was evil, but God was using them to bring me to this place where I'm at, where I could see what I see and know what I know and be what I am. And for the first time in my life, start loving who I am because of what they did and didn't do. My father-in-law told me he was a powerful man. At the time, I didn't have a clue why he was saying it, but it was so unusual for him to say it. And it's just one of many things I could talk about, but it's just the latest. And then all the things that started happening, unraveling, it's like they were literally, you know, overpowering me where I knew I had no way to win. I had no way to, I'm going down if God's not with me. I'm going down. I'm going to go down if God's not with me. Some of it was intimidation. Some of it was to stop me from believing what I believe and knowing what I know and saying what I say, that is from God. And they wanted to change that, at least in their eyes. But in God's eyes, when I started seeing, when he said that to me and then he started instigating the things that he did, now I look back at it and I go, my God, Jesus brought me through those things. I don't even know how it happened, but he did it. There's no way I could have done it. And I got a whole new look at my Jesus that I've never had before. I feel safer than I've ever felt in my life because of what has gone on with my life the last 5 years. It has been amazing. It broke me at a level, again, I thought I couldn't be broken at. I didn't know how God could break me anymore. But when you're ready, brokenness becomes the thing that you love. Paul got to where he bragged more about the times he got stoned and whipped and left for dead than he did about the miracles that were happening. He said, I glory in those things. Why? Because he knew that those things that were happening to him were bringing him to a place where God Almighty could use him and could break him and remake him and break him and remake him and break him again until he's bread for the nations. Friend, you got to hear what God's telling me. I'm not weeping because I'm sad. I'm weeping because I'm a broken man. And I'm looking at myself in the holy mirror of God and saying, I love you. I love you. God, I love who you're making me. I love the new me. I've never said that in my life. I looked in the mirror when I got born again. I thought, that guy's pretty cool. I could look in the mirror without guilt and shame. And I saw myself as this, and I couldn't even, I look in the mirror and go, you know, I just like, what? Who is that? And it was cool. It was great. But then you got to live life, you know. Can't stand in the mirror all day long looking at the beautiful creation God's made you. But then he had to begin to work it into my everyday life. And friend, I guarantee you, you'll never have unforgiveness a day in your life. If you have it for a few hours or a few, sometimes it takes time to see things. Sometimes you get caught off guard by things. You think, oh, well, those bad people, they took advantage of me. Wait a minute. And then you start realizing, you know, something else is going on, something deeper, something hidden, something that most eyes don't see it. If God doesn't open your eyes, friend, you won't see it. You'll be bitter. You'll be resentful. You'll be fighting them. You'll be taking them down, the Jezebel spirit in the name of Jesus, that whatever it is, spirit, that controlling demon, devil. Oh, God. Not that we don't fight in war, but we don't fight in war to take them down, to beat them. Our war is to let God do a work in us. The whole deal of fighting Satan, friend, is not whooping up on them and taking them down so they won't mess with you anymore. But that only intensifies it. You got to know how to fight your fight. You got to know what the fight's about. The fight's not about taking them down and showing them I'm a child of God. You better watch who you're touching, which is what I've done many times. At least thought it. You still do sometimes. Letting God grow you. It's more about what's happening inside of you. It's not about what's going on with them. You can't change them. You're not going to change those people, especially when God's trying to use them for a season, just like he did Joseph's brothers, just like he did Jesus' brothers, his own people. He knew that they didn't know what they were doing. Why do you think he cried out and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? You think he was just saying that to sound holy? No, he literally meant it. He knew that they did not know really what they were doing. Though they knew what they were doing, he knew from the perspective of heaven and God that God Almighty was having them do it. Therefore, they were under the control, if you will, of the strategies of God. And he was having them crucify him as the Lamb of God to save the world. And he just said, you know what? I love you. I blow kisses to you. Big thing with him, and Satan knew it, was, can we get unforgiveness in Jesus' heart? That's where Satan, that's where evil tries to get you, like even with Joseph. What they meant for evil, the whole strategy of evil was not the people so much as it was the people, but where Satan tries to use them to get your heart to walk away from God or to compromise. Oh, we take communion tonight. You better get your little cute little butt ready because it's going to be awesome one way or the other. Yeah. And, you know, God's just going to like be going, hey, you need to eat this. Yeah, you need to be eating this bread that Chandler's Jimmy, because that's not channel. That's my bread from heaven. He's just breaking it with you because I've been breaking it with him. He's giving it to you, sharing it with you, hoping you'll eat it along with him and not reject it. Why Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. You think he would just like kind of hype himself up into a forgive to say, oh, God, I'm going to confess it 2,500 times. They don't know what they're doing. No, he wasn't saying it because they weren't trying to make a confession of salvation or a confession of forgiveness. He was saying what he knew. He knew that God Almighty was orchestrating the whole thing. And he was saying, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do, because him and the Father knew that the Father was orchestrating his death and all the beatings and the whippings and all the betrayals and all that. It was being orchestrated by God Almighty for the salvation of the world. And the Jews are going to be so blessed because just like, now watch this. I want you to get ready for this. You can apply this to your personal life too. But when Joseph's brothers who had betrayed him, just like Jesus, I think Jesus loved Joseph's story. I think he loved it. Oh, I think he loved it. Abraham and Isaac too, I think he loved that. That's him and the Father offering up. He loved it all. But the reason that he loved Joseph so much was because the same thing's going to happen. The Bible says in the end the Jews are going to be saved. You know why? Because you know who blinded them? You think it was the devil that blinded them? It had very little to do with the devil blinding them. They were blinded by God. God blinded them so the Gentiles could get saved. Read the scripture. And so at the end, because the Jews, they were chosen, God brought Jesus through them, and then he had them betray him or deny him, and many of them, you know, and do away with him. And because they did,
I didn't get that.
And then he,
try again.
Okay, Sherry, I don't need you. And so he, you know, just like when Joseph forgave his brothers, he said, brothers, I'm not going to kill you. What do you think Jesus is going to do when he comes back? The Jews are going to go, I wonder, oh, my God, it's Jesus, the one that we crucified, the one we've been saying is a blasphemer all these years. Oh, my God, he's come to town. I wonder if he's going to kill us all. Same thing with Joseph. Come to town. You're going to kill it. Joseph made sure then he said, hey, brothers, don't worry. Don't worry. Because they were really, 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 really worried of years of guilt and shame had built up. Brothers, don't worry. Bring your children. I love you. I this all happened to me because I'm going to save you and your family. That's what the dream meant, that at this season and time where the world's going to be crashing and burning, I'm going to save you. I'm going to bring you into town, and we're going to protect you and keep you and watch over you and provide for you. I'm going to give you land. I'm going to talk to the head dog, to my friend Pharaoh, and I'm going to get you to the best place in Egypt, and I'm going to love your children. You can raise your children. I love you. You're going to restore them. Same thing with Jesus. That's why Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That's what Joseph was saying. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to turn around. He's going to restore. When Jesus comes to town after he slays all the wicked, he can come out there and say, they're going to be looking at him like, okay, are we next? Are you going to like breathe fire on us? Because we killed you. We turned the whole world against you and tried to. He's going to go, brothers, it's me. Woo, it's me. Yeah, we know who you are. We know what we did to you. We know. What are you going to do to us? And he says, oh, brothers, what you meant for evil, God meant it for good. I'm here to save you. We're all going to have a big family. It's going to be awesome. And Paul the Apostle knew it, too. He said, yeah, all Israel's going to be saved. I don't know exactly what that means. You've got to be accept Christ to be born again, right? They're not going to be saved because they're Israel. They're going to be saved. You know, because God used them. That's what I talked about earlier. I said, God, when you ask God to use you, get ready for him, because he's probably going to use you in some ways. You're going to look back and go, man, I wish you hadn't used me like that. Or did they? Was that the devil using me? I don't know who used me. God uses you. He'll use you anyway, whatever it takes to get his will done. He will use you, good, bad, and evil, to get his job done, just like he did all the other times in the Bible. He has a right to take a Pharaoh and use Pharaoh to glorify himself, to get Pharaoh to harden his heart so that he could make his name known. Yeah, God did all that. You don't read your Bible. Read your Bible. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You understand? Some of you out there, I see you still send me the text. I don't believe God and everything like that. You know, like, dear God, you are listening to a religious spirit from a hell. It's keeping you from seeing Jesus the Father the way he really is and what's really going to go on. And the Bible starts explaining itself when you read it the way it is instead of the way you wish it was. Me, you, I'm just now reading scripture the way God, I mean, I've found more fault with what I believed in than anything. I mean, it's been amazing. It's been humbling. Jesus cried out for him. He said, Father, forgive them. We're going to take communion here a little bit. Get your communion ready. It's going to be a holy night tonight. That bitterness and unforgiveness? Oh, how I understand that. Oh, how I understand that. Oh, my God. I've talked about mine openly, you know. I try to just be honest as I can. There's some things I can't say, you know, because I embarrass other people, but I just try to tell you, you know, my stuff at least. So you'll know, you know, what's really going on. She said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. It's exactly what it was. They really didn't know. It was all being orchestrated by the Father. When the Jews get through doing their job, you know, and some Jews get saved, and then, you know, in the end, you're going to say, brothers, it's me. And they're going to go, yes, we receive you now, Jesus. We're so sorry we did that. And he's going to go, yeah, I know, but it was all God's will. You're forgiven. It's like Joseph. It's the same story, same exact thing. It's amazing. So, friend, you know, the thing is that when they were whipping and beating him, and he knew that it wasn't just the Romans that were the whippers and the torturers were doing what they're doing. Now what was happening was they knew that Jesus knew that even though his brothers orchestrated the whole thing and basically set it up to where, you know, the Romans had to do it, basically. They can have a riot on their hands and tear the whole place up. I mean, it's a big threat. It was a big thing. Jesus knew the whole time why he was there being beaten by the Romans. It was his brothers. But he knew that had they not done what they did, those stripes that were being ripped from his body would not be able to bring healing to us today. He knew that's what they were for. Each thing that hit and ripped his skin to shreds, tore his back up like you've never seen before. Each one of them, he knew, there goes cancer. And there goes epilepsy. And whatever disease. Think he's going to get bitter about that? He knew that was the only way. He knew that's why the Father set it up. He was the sacrifice. He wasn't going to have unforgiveness toward those who set it up. They were doing what God wanted. How could he have unforgiveness toward the ones that God set it up? And then he says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And the Father goes, yeah, I know. And you know, Jesus too, that I had it all orchestrated because this was your job and this is what you were called to do. And we both know, you and me know, that they didn't know what they're doing. And so all Jesus was saying is, amen, Father, they don't know what they're doing. Forgive them. Because he had to forgive. He had to speak. He had to forgive them. And it wasn't just some hyping, saying scripture over and over and over again, putting yourself in a hyper mode where you can say, oh, I think I finally did it. Yeah, I think I finally forgave it. I said it 3,427 times. And that last time, man, I mean, I felt something break. You know, nothing wrong with faith confession. You got to know what's going on with it or it's worthless. He did it because he knew it. He knew the scripture. He knew the Father. Same with us. We're going to forgive because whatever stripes have been put on you, oh, you know, brother so-and-so, that preacher, man, he read it. Yeah, so-and-so. Yeah, I've done the same thing. Until my eyes get open, and then I start applying all this, I'm going, thank you, God. It makes you love them more. It makes you, it's not even about unforgiveness. It's about you find yourself loving. No wonder he loved his brothers. So he fell in love with his brothers in a way he never had before. I mean, I don't know if he really ever loved his brothers like he did when they came. And he realized that had it not been for them, he wouldn't be the vision God gave him, wouldn't have happened. They did it. Thank you, brothers. He wasn't just saying, I forgive you because you're a bad person. The reason he was able to do it because he knew. And if you don't get your eyes open to this, we're going to take communion right now. And when you get your eyes open to this, as we do, it's going to take some time. It's going to take scriptures. It's going to take preaching. It's going to take good preaching like this tonight, good teaching like this tonight from the Holy Ghost, planting seeds in this, getting you to start, you know, understanding what's going on in your life. So you're going to find yourself love and persecution. You're going to love it. I mean, they took it as a great honor to be crucified. Peter was about to be crucified. The stories are that he said, "No, don't crucify me like Jesus. I don't deserve the honor. I don't deserve the honor like that. I want to be crucified upside down." So they took it as an honor. They weren't sitting there going, "You evil people, what are you doing to me? You bad. I don't deserve this." Like we do sometimes. No, he understood. He knew. How did he ever know? That boy, he was something. He was something else. That boy was something else. Say the least. All right, let's lift up the body and the bread if you have it with you. Let's take communion tonight so we can, main thing we're going to do, yes, it's about forgiveness. Yes, it's about all that. But it's mainly tonight, friend, the main message is that our eyes will be open through eating this bread. When the bread, we eat bread, our eyes are open, right? That's what we believe in God for. When our eyes are open, it's because we eat bread. So tonight, as we eat this bread, I was going to believe with you tonight, believe together, that our eyes will be open. I know this is a difficult thing to grasp. And parts of us fight it. Oh, we got to fight the devil. We got to fight this. You know, yeah. When you understand why you're fighting the devil and what that fighting the devil, what that's about, more about you than it's about anybody else. About you getting unforgiveness. About you going down. About you being taken out. It's more about that. That's more what the battle's about, friend, than it is about anything else. Let's eat about that, if you would. 1 Corinthians 11:23 says, "For I received from the Lord." Watch this. "Which I also, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night which he was betrayed." You know why he loved Judas when he kissed him? He said, "Friend, you betray me with a kiss." Called him friend. He wasn't just trying to be hype. He wasn't hype or anything. Oh, in the name of Jesus, friend. No, he was like, he said, "Man, you know, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be fixing to go be glorified before the Father and sit at the right hand of the Father. I wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't for you, Judas. Thank you. The people wouldn't be saved, and my blood would not forgive them, and they wouldn't be healed by my stripes if it wasn't for you, Judas. Thank you, Judas." When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." It had to be his body, friend. And everything Judas did and everybody else did to betray him, turn him in, take him down, deny him, all of it. What's about his body so we could eat his body? It had to be broken. Let's eat, friend. God, open our eyes tonight. The main thing I want, God, is you to open my eyes to this message, what you're saying, so that I will be able to forgive others, knowing that Romans 8:28 really does work, because I love you, and I'm called according to your purpose. Because of that, and seeing that scripture and knowing that if that's really true, then what I'm preaching tonight to you, friend, has to be the truth. Oh, just that one little area got out of control. The devil got that one person trying to take us down, trying to mess our life up, trying to do this thing, trying to do that thing to me. Oh, my God. You know, if it wasn't for them, I'd find that devil. Now, you know what? You need to be working. You need to take that log out of your eye, brother and girlfriend. Forgiven and that resentful and that bitterness is going to try to take you down. That's what your warfare ought to be about, not about taking them down. They're just doing God's job. You're being whipped and beaten, and you're going to turn around. You got to think Jesus turned around and said, "You sorry Jezebel spirit, I bind you in Jesus' name. You controlled and manipulated evil devil. Stop crucifying me. Stop beating me." You think that's exactly what that's what you're doing. That's what I've done. Stop it. Paul tried, prayed three times to stop that thorn, tearing him up, shredding him up. Them thorns were like, you think them thorns, they were, you know what a thorn's like, right? You ever mess with thorns? Yeah, they cut you up. You'd be bleeding like a stuck hog. Yeah, he gave thanks, he broke it, he being broken, and he said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this remember me," right? That's what we just did. In the same manner, he also took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me," this drink, friend. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You talk about freedom. You down when you understand this. What can mess you up when you understand, when you break this bread and this bread opens your mind to Jesus and what Romans 8 really means? And if you really believe it, why are you trying to stop the whipping and the beating that you're getting? Randy Chandler and whoever else you are out there. Oh, I'm going to take authority over that devil. I ain't going to take control of me no more. I ain't going to have it. Yeah, and the more you fight it, it's like Jesus turned around to his crucifiers and still his ones be beating him and whipping him 39 stripes. Oh, don't give me 39. You know, give me 3. That's good enough. 3 is good enough. Fine, the other 37. I just had to think about how many it was. The other 30, I find that 37 more in the name of Jesus. No way. 3, that's plenty. Got blood. What else do you want? More blood? You want all my blood? You ain't going to get it. Belongs to God. That's what Jesus, you know, if Jesus would have been bitter, that's what he would have been saying. Now, he knew each stripe, all 39 of them, were for a reason. He'd have stopped short of one. It would have been disastrous for his purposes, for the purpose of the Father. Communion would be worthless without the 39. He'd have bound up the other 37. He said, 3 is plenty. 3, one for the Father, one for the Son, and one for the Holy Ghost. That's plenty. I find that 37. Yeah, done my share of that, friend. Paul the Apostle did the same thing. Man, I prayed 3 times. When Paul said he prayed 3 times, that meant like he spent days fast, whatever it was. He was like, he wasn't like, in the name of Jesus, stop this now. Okay, in the name of Jesus, stop this now. In the name of Jesus, and that was it. No, that wasn't it. No, are you kidding me? He was doing some heavy-duty warfare. He was trying to stop that 39. He was trying to stop it at 3 instead of 39. He prayed 3 times. And the Father accepted 3 times. He said, "No, I'm going to let the full 39 come. Sorry. Believe me, it's all going to be for good, Paul. Get all 39 stripes. Uh-huh. It's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. You'll be broken. I'll use you more than ever. You'll glory in your suffering more than you'll glory in anything else. Yep. Gonna love it once you get figure out what's going on. He finally got. That's when Paul realized. He said, "Man, what about I'm sitting there?" He's like, "Jesus would have been saying, stop at three. Three's plenty for me." Paul was doing the same thing. You and I did the same thing. No, he knew. That'd be 39. He had to finish the job. A lot of people don't finish the job. They took up Paul. I prayed three times to stop it, and the Father finally says, "Nah, you know, you're wasting your prayers. I'm not hearing any of that. I don't hear any of that stuff. When you're praying my will, you're praying your will." Jesus did the same. Jesus prayed three times too. Three times Jesus prayed. But yet he said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." Try that one, Paul. You'll like that one better. Yep. Paul tried. He said, but the Lord said, "No, my grace is sufficient for you. I'm not going to stop it." And God's saying the same thing to some of you tonight, some of us. When you get it, and you got it, it's going to change your life. You're going to love it when they come and start whipping up on you. Paul bragged about his stripes and his beating. He said, "I boast in that stuff, man." He bragged more about that. His guy's lost his mind. No, he got a revelation from Jesus. "Take heed, is my body. It's broken for you. This room is me." And the very night he was betrayed. Why do you think betrayal? Every time we read this, we have to say the word betrayal. Like, why do we got to do that? Because his betrayal was what set the whole thing up so he could give us his blood, friend. That's what the betrayal was all about. It was a blessing in disguise sitting right there among him, leading them to him where he didn't have to commit suicide. If he had committed suicide, he'd have turned himself in, that would have been committing suicide. He couldn't do it. They're like you and me trying, "I think I'm going to go to heaven today, honey. Okay, I'm going to go kill myself. I'm going to go." Like, no, you had to wait until you pass on, right? Or Jesus comes back, one or the other. "Yeah, I'm going to kill myself." That's what Jesus would have been doing if he turned himself in. That's why Judas was so important. Judas was the go guy. Judas was, "Okay, it's time. Yep, okay. Everybody's about to get a savior. The whole world's going to be saved now, even the Jews. You know, they're going to crucify me now. I'm going to be offered up by them. But, you know, they're going to be the priesthood, the only ones that can. And all that's done." Paul explained that in his gospel. That they're all going to be saved, you know, because they just like Joseph brothers, you know. It's the same strategy. It hasn't changed, friend. Why are you trying to change it? Why are we trying to change it? I don't know. If we don't understand it, that's why. You, me, us. Yep. All right. Okay. I bet you didn't expect that tonight. If we have anybody else listening, everybody might have hung up and gone to bed. You know, that one, I don't know. I didn't pay attention. Sometimes I don't pay attention to text. When I'm getting to preaching, I don't see who's texting me most of the time. Most of the time. I don't be offended if I don't answer your text when I'm preaching. I don't want to get distracted. But go ahead and text me. I love your text. Yeah, you know I do. All right. Let's do this thing, man. 10:20 already. My gosh. I got really caught up into that. Okay, give me just a minute. I'm going to get everything together, and I'll be right back. All right, give me just a minute here. I'm getting things together, and we'll start playing over offering tonight. We'll soak that in. If you would, I'll be right back. All right, let's get ready to pray over offering tonight. Thank you for being with us tonight. If you want to give tonight, you're welcome to do that. We'd love to receive it, pray over it. Give through Cash App. All you need is a phone number. I'll give it to you in a minute. You can also give through Venmo. you give me Venmo tonight, let me know. I can't always get into Venmo as fast as I want to. Let me know about that. You can also do Venmo, also with the same number, and then PayPal. And then I'll give you the link for PayPal if you'd like to give tonight through PayPal. I'd love to send you that link. You can do that. The phone number you need for Cash App, for also for Zelle, to the banking system, your bank, to the ministry bank, all the same phone number. Venmo, Cash App, and Zelle is 214-505-8710. Okay? There you go. All right. Let's get ready to pray. And what we've got tonight for whatever he wants to do, we're going to learn things that we need. All right. Some people are sitting responding to the message tonight. Thank you for that. Appreciate that very much. All right. Okay. So let's get ready here. Make sure I've gotten everybody. I think I have so far. Okay. All right, I think we're almost there. Forgot anybody. Okay. All right. I think we pretty well got it covered for now. People give during the show, I think, but all right, praise God. Wow, what a message tonight, my God. I mean, I did not know that was going to come out like that. Woo! Just roasting some lamb tonight. All right, I'll be right back. Hang on just a second. Be right there. Get ready for a prayer. A little bit of a great testimony, I think, that you'll like. On Wednesday's show, we were tonight we prophesy over everybody. And so we got Chris from Texas came on, right? And all of a sudden I saw this. I remember at Kenneth Copeland meetings years ago. I used to go to Kenneth Copeland meetings years ago. And the big meetings, you know. And there's thousands of people would be there. Anyway, so he would, when I got Chris on the show and started, you know, prophesying over him, I remember this guy, this big old guy, he was Indian-looking guy, big guy, and Copeland would say, hey, Zeke, or whatever his name is, are you in the
So I know you're here somewhere. Where are you at? He'd come running up there, and he was a big old guy, and he drove, he, you know, was kind of a farm boy slash, you know, big machine driving, you know, dirt moving, you know, guy, just a rough, you know, got born again. And I said, I just keep seeing this guy. And Kenneth Trump kept talking about how this guy had faith, man. This guy's got faith. He's got faith. He's got faith. And he would give testimonies of miracles God did for him when he was, you know, he moved a lot of dirt. He did use those big machinery for the move dirt. And I kept seeing that with him, right? I was telling Chris, I keep seeing that guy. I don't know why I keep seeing that guy. And, you know, he was an amazing man of God, kind of old farm boy, you know, kind of like you. And, like, you know, moving dirt. He drove one of those machines, those big old things that moved a lot of dirt, and had testimonies about it. I just remembered that. It stuck in my mind. And so, you know, so today, Chris texts me. He says, hey, Randy, I just have to tell you this, that all week long, I've been on this machine, this dirt moving machine, moving dirt all week long, you know. And I went, you got to be kidding me. And then he sends me pictures of it. He says, yeah, I've been moving dirt all week long. He said, so when we gave him that word, he's kind of like going, interesting, very interesting. And so I told Jeannie about it because Jeannie got on the show. She remembers that guy. Jeannie remembered that guy. She went to some of Copeland's meetings too, and they were awesome. And she remembers that guy. She said, was he an Indian style? I said, yeah, that's him. I remember that. I said, yeah, it was amazing. For some reason, I don't even know why, I hadn't thought of that in years. And all of a sudden, I'm telling Chris about it, that you just remind me of that guy. I never really met Chris, but I said, this is what I keep thinking about, the Lord just kind of tells him. And so when he sent me that text today, he sent me a picture of it, too. Pretty cool. And anyway, it's very interesting. You never know what the Lord's going to say and how he's going to say it and what he's saying it for and all that. It's pretty cool. I really love it. It's really, really awesome. All right. So thank God for that. Thank God for every word. And I just thought I'd let you know, Randy. I've been moving heavy. I've been moving on this machine. You sent me a picture of the thing that, you know, the tractor like looking thing that moving dirt. it was pretty cool. I thought it was cool. So, friend, you never know what God's going to say and why he's saying it and all that. All right, Andrea, tonight, $5. Thank you, Andrea. We just bless you, Andrea, in Jesus' name. May the Lord make it special for you when you suffer, that you will know that everything you suffered has been worked out for the glory of God, because Romans 8:28 says, all things work together, all things, even the things that people mean for evil, that people do that are just, it's like God's going, I'm going to do something in Andrea's heart over a roof. A roof. Not just something over a roof. Roof. Remember the roof thing? I never forgot the roof thing. I remember all that. And on your old house. And then you get your new house. Get your new roof. Get your new roof. Roof. I don't know why I'm doing this exactly. One of those nights, I guess. And so thank the Lord that you're showing her that all things work together for good. If you can't see something good that's worked out yet, we will, right? That's what the deal is. I don't think Joseph could probably see it for a while because of the suffering he was going through. But when he saw it, it allowed him to forgive his brothers because he realized it was all being set up just to get him there to save them and save everybody. He ended up saving really most of the globe. The famine hit the whole globe. I got scriptures that says that the famine hit the whole globe, the whole world. And he was part of saving all that. So anyway, so it took a while for him to see it, but when he did, he realized that even those things, God meant it for good. Amen. So thank you, Lord, that for Andrea, God, that you bless her with that, and you open her up for that in Jesus' name, that she will always remember that even when men mean things for evil and for whatever reason they're doing it, that God may have sent them in some sense, some way, to, you know, maybe telling you that the roof thing meant that you were going to get you a new house. Maybe that's what it meant, you know, get you a new roof. The old roof opened up the door for the new roof. Anyway, so there you go. Wow. So that kind of thing. All things work together for good for those who love God.
who love God and called according to his purposes. Amen. Even what the what people mean for evil. Really, really cool. Thank you, Jesus. All right, Angela from South Carolina. Thank you, Lord, for Angela for that $7.77. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you, Lord, for that, for the bread you're breaking with her, God. The deeper we let God break us, Angela, as you know, you know, it's never something we look forward to, but when stuff goes wrong, stuff, like Paul had his thorn everywhere he went. He said, you know, like demons came out of the woodwork just to harass him, you know, and he tried to stop that because that was such a pain in the neck. Everywhere you go, man, I mean, he was harassed. He'd try to preach the gospel and he'd be harassed. So he had to forgive people on a regular basis. That's what really what that was about. It was about people. The demons were using people. It wasn't the demons themselves showing up. The demons using people. And I really think that's where Paul learned, Angela, how where the scripture says we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, because he realized when that thorn thing happened and God was giving him a thorn in the flesh, everywhere he went, people came out of the woodwork and all of a sudden, you're a bad, evil person, Paul. You come here to do evil. And, you know, he's going like, what? And the whole time, you know, he had to forgive him. If he had to stay in forgiveness, it would have messed him up in his preaching, right? So it's like, it's amazing. It says God sent, you know, Satan in thorn in the flesh. God did that. The messenger. And God said, I'm not going to remove that. No. And your authority won't do it either, Paul. I don't give you authority to remove that one. And because God's doing the work. So thank you, Jesus, for all the work you're doing that opens up, breaks that bread of creativity, how to think through things, how our brain can, you know, can be opened up to the Word of God, to the will of God, the Spirit of God, to the activity of heaven. Our mind is like a radar, in a sense, when we renew it. That's like an antenna. It becomes our antenna in earth for heaven. Every time God does something in our brain, it becomes a more powerful antenna or satellite dish, if you will, to receive from heaven. Yeah. Yeah, in Jesus' name. All right, thank you, Lord, for that satellite dish in your head. I have a clue what that's about. Satellite in your head. Satellite dish in your head. There you go. Whatever, I don't know. Anyway, Veronica and Mike, $10. Thank you for Veronica and Mike. Thank you, Lord, for them. Thank you, God, for blessing them. Thank you for all the trouble and the hassle and the pain, the heartache they've gone through, all the harassment and all the stuff. You know, God, I thank you that you're going to open them up to that bread we broke tonight, Jesus, was for the very purpose of seeing how all that stuff, all that craziness, all the demonic attacks, all the struggles and battles we've gone through was a strategy trying to take you out, just like the devil was trying to take Joseph out by his brothers doing evil against him, but yet God knew Joseph. He trusted Joseph like he trusted Job. He said, have you considered my servant Joseph? That's kind of what happened. Have you considered my servant Joseph? Oh, yeah. Get the hedge of protection around him. Oh, I'm going to remove that. And off to Egypt he went. And he had all that stuff, man. Wow. God used it to break him. God used it to open him up to heaven. God used it to open him up to the wisdom. God used it to give him the knowledge and the wisdom of how to manage things, because he was learning how to manage things, other people's things that weren't his. You think about what he did when he got, what the training was all about, when he got to Egypt and with Pharaoh and started ruling. What was he doing? He was managing money that wasn't his the whole time, from Potiphar's house to the prison to, you know, 1, 2, 3, right? He was a manager of wealth. And that wealth was not just money or food. It was wisdom. So the wisdom that he got through all of his suffering, learning how to manage other people's stuff, could be trusted. He was honest. And, yeah. And therefore, God says, when, you know, Jesus taught, when you're honest with another man's stuff, when you're trustworthy with another man's stuff, then I can trust you with your stuff.
Right, that's what God says. And that's what Joseph, the whole thing with Joseph was, God was proving him out to be worthy, you know, to eventually get his own stuff. Right? He managed stuff, managed. Or I think that managing ability in Veronica and my God, that they will learn to manage together. They will learn to manage each other. They will learn to manage things. Thank you, Jesus. And hallelujah. They're going to take it all and work it out for good. Giving them wisdom on how to handle things, how to deal with things. In Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. All right. Cast down Satan's lies and raise up Jesus. Raise up Jesus' eyes from those lies. Giving you eyes from the lies. Yeah. Satan's lies. We learn from it. God gives us his eyes. Yeah. Eyes to see. Amen. Something about that. God's opening up eyes. All right. Jeannie, $15. Thank you, Lord, for Jeannie. Thank you, Lord, for everything we taught on tonight, God, for her, for us, for me. We thank you, Jesus, that you are disarming everything that any human being, any of us could have to stop or hinder the will of God in our life. We're trying to figure out, you know, trying to figure out who did or who didn't do something. You know, I still do that. I still do it. I've done it, you know, because we think we're told not to wrestle with flesh and blood, yet we still find ourselves wanting to find out who did it and who didn't do it, right? I mean, that's God says to me, Randy, you know, we're not wrestling with flesh and blood. Yeah, I mean, you may know who did what, who didn't, in the end, and maybe before then. But what I'm showing you is that all the things that happened to you and or didn't happen to you were to do a work in you, right? To do a work in us, to work in Joseph, to work in Jesus. Jesus learned obedience to the things that he suffered. Thank you, Lord, for all the suffering she's gone through, God, that God, you turned that into glory. You're removing fears of all kinds so that Jeannie can pull down the fears that are in the mind and the thought processes that create fear. God's going to show you the thought processes that create that fear. Because everything's about a creation. You know, God created Jesus, you know, the Word created. But Satan manufactures that. Copies that by fear creating. Right. Somebody says something about fear, F-E-A-R. And it's like God, like Joshua was getting ready to take the land. That's the first thing he dealt with him with about fear. But because he was a fearful person, weak and all that kind of thing. He was a very humble person who knew he didn't have anything. Like Moses had everything. He had nothing. Like he compared himself to Moses. There was no way he's going to win that one. I mean, he's out on that one. And all of a sudden now he's been put in that position. And fear came on him. I mean, that's why I said, fear not. Why? Because he wasn't fearing now. Why would God waste his time telling him, fear not? No, he was fearing. But it was a legitimate fear that God used to springboard him into faith, springboard him into the need. Sometimes God will allow certain godly fears, some fears that we have, to springboard us into, you know, opening our eyes to see the opposite, right? We become weak. Sometimes fear makes us weak, and yet God wants us to be weak so that he can be strong through us. So fear creates that thing in us to where we become weak and needy, which is difficult. We'd rather be strong, and I know what's going to happen. So instead of being vulnerable and weak, that's where God wants us. And yet we think when we're there, we're unspiritual, but yet that's when we're the most spiritual, right? So God's using that like a, you know. Yeah, Joshua was amazing, and yet he was dealing with fear. And God was using that fear to get him to realize he couldn't do it. He was afraid he couldn't do it, and that's what God wanted to know. He said, man, you're right. Your fear is telling you the truth. You can't do it. I can't do it, man. I just can't do it. And like we're supposed to think we're going to do it, right? He said, no, you got it, man. And that fear was like, I can't do it. I just can't. I can't be like Moses. I can't. And God's like going, perfect.
exactly what I wanted. Now, I'm going to give you courage. I'm going to give you strength. You meditate on the word. That's what Moses did. He meditated. That's why I gave Moses words. Because Moses learned how to eat those words, drink those words, and meditate on those words. And those words were the very thing that gave him power and strength and courage to do what he did. The man did amazing things, my God. Amazing. The Lord, I think of the amazing things you're going to continue to do, the amazing things. Hallelujah. To tear down fear, to explain fear to people, to help them understand that, no, you can't, that fear, that, you know, let's figure out what fear we're talking about. Fear of what? Fear of Satan bringing a fear on you for something? Or is God bringing a fear on you, and that fear is causing you to doubt that you can do it? And that's exactly what God says. When I'm weak, when we are weak, he becomes strong. That fear makes us, the right kind of fear, makes you weak so you can become really strong, really dependent on him. Joshua goes in and takes the land, man. An awesome, mighty man of God. Yeah, thank you, Lord, for the name of that place. Lord said, I can't do it. And he was faced with it. He was face to face with it. And then he went, I just can't do it. And the angel, you know, so the Lord said, be courageous, be courageous. Yeah, God's with you. God's with you. And as he began to go through the valley of the shadow of death, you fear no evil. Why? Fear no evil. When you fear God, then you fear no evil. Right? The right fear brings you to a place where you don't fear any evil. Why? Because you say, you know, he's with me. Hey, well, the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because thou art with me. So, yeah, Joshua wasn't fearing evil. No, he wasn't fearing that. He was fearing the fact that, you know, I can't do this, man. I don't have what it takes. God goes, bingo, you said it. Now you got it. And that gave him courage. Yeah. So, Lord, thank you for Jeannie, God. Thank you for what you're doing in her life. Thank you for the beauty and the fear and reverence of God. Sometimes we think that fear is not a good fear, but sometimes the fear of God feels just like real fear, because it is. But it has a whole different design, a whole different purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, and her faith is becoming strong in you, Jesus, and not in herself or her abilities or her non-abilities, right? We trust in God and his abilities, Jesus' name. All right, Carmen, $20. Thank you, Lord, for Carmen. Thank you, Lord, for God putting the twist on things. God's going to start putting his little twist on stuff. Like, people are going to look at something one way, and God's going to show you a little twist on it. Yeah, God put a little twist on that. Yeah, he sure did. It's amazing. When God puts a twist on something, it's like, I never saw it like that before. Man, yeah, what a twist, what a turn, what a revelation, what a thing. Yeah, he puts a little twist on it, and a little thing that, you know, most people just don't get it, you know, because they don't see that. They only see one side of God. They don't really see all the other sides of God. God wants to show you all his sides, all his parts. That's what Moses was so in awe about, Carmen, was the fact that he just kept seeing one side of God, then another side of God, then another side of God, then another side of God. Then he said, how many sides do you got? You know, your backside, that side is awesome, the front side, the side, and all the other side. It's like God's got a lot of sides, right? And so he just kept being in more and awe. He said, you know, show me your glory. Well, you'd already seen his glory, my gosh. But he realized that there was so much more. Because the more you see Carmen, the more you know there. Like, one thing reveals that there's two things, and two things reveals that there's four things, and four things that are revealed that there, and it just keeps going and multiplying and increasing. The more you see, the more you see. It's a never-ending, how many sides does God have? Couldn't get them all. I mean, he saw bunches of them. He saw them more than anybody. Yeah, I mean, he talked with God face-to-face, not just on the mountain. He talked to him in the tent. The people would hear him talking in the tent to God. God's talking to him. They thought it was like two human beings talking, like they were friends, literally. Yeah, Moses, like those. Good little secretary, wrote it all down. Yeah, really awesome. Yeah, and that's what we have, and that's what they still brag about today, the greatest thing ever. But those were words from God. They weren't things that Moses discerned or felt God was saying. They were things that God said to him directly. How many sides does God have? Moses found out there's way too many that he couldn't deal with it. It's a never-ending thing. So thank the Lord for teaching Karma, showing her how to go from side to side to side to side. Amen. And those little twists. Yeah, you get to learn one thing and there's a potential twist to it. You go, oh, yeah, well, that twist turns into another thing. That thing gets going, you put a little twist on it, and it turns into another thing. Never anything. Yeah, I'm telling you, when you see this, Carmen, I know you already know it, but it's a never-ending thing. When we give it away, that's why people need to find some way, some kind of outlet. If they have one person listen to them or nobody, it don't even really matter. I mean, it's nice to have people listen to you, of course. But to have the opportunity to give it so that you get more. Pretty soon, you're going to be getting so much that, you know, people are like going, what's going on with Carmen? She's getting so much stuff. Like, what's that coming from? Yeah. Because when you have the opportunity to give it away, however we do people do that, some type of outlet. That's why I open up the door for that. It's not because I'm trying to, you know, train people how to be a great man of God or a great woman. No, I just want an opportunity to give things away so they can get blessed. More revelation. Revelation is the greatest thing of all. All right, Regina, $20. Thank you, Lord, for Regina. Thank you, Lord, for opening her eyes, God, tonight, for letting her see this. Father, that's why all things work together for good, is that when we start seeing that we truly are, we truly do have all things work together for good to those of us who love God and we love what he does. It's about loving what God does. About loving, it's not just loving who he is, but loving what he does is part of who he is. And who he is what he does. He does what he is. When we see what he does, we know that's what he is. Yeah, when we start seeing that, Regina, and what happens is we start realizing that, wow, man, you know, all the troubles, all the things, all the stuff, God, though man meant it for evil, and though, you know, whatever else goes on and doesn't go on, that God, because when we see, that's why when we turn to love him and learn how to love him, Regina, that's when God starts working it out for good, because then we start realizing that all this stuff people meant for evil, God meant it for good. He literally did. He's setting you up for a blessing. And people that don't see that don't get the blessing, because you get to see it to believe it. Yeah. And to see the revelation, understand it. Because that's what takes you to the place to receive it. And then it's like all of a sudden all the pain of all the whatever, the rejections and the misunderstandings just fades away into the background, because you're going to be saying to them, you know, I know you, but God meant it for good. It turned out for good. Look, God was setting me up for something good. Yeah, I'm not afraid to try to be, for people to try to take me down. When they try to take me down, I'm not going to get my eyes on trying to stop them. I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus and trying to keep my heart pure, keep my heart clean, knowing that all things are working out together for good. So I just keep forgiving them and loving them and blessing them, knowing that if God's using them to bless me, to get me where I would never be without that. Thank you, Lord, for that revelation. Thank you for that understanding. Thank you for that wisdom, God, and that will keep our hearts pure. How can we hold things against people that they had to do something? We had to suffer somehow, so he chose our own loved ones. Just like with Joseph and Jesus and all the other prophets and everybody else. These are brothers that did more things than anybody else most of the time. No family. It used to be a family thing. And we're able to go understand. God, they meant for evil, you meant for good. Now I see it. Joseph says, oh, brothers, no, I'm not going to kill you. I'm not going to take you down. If you hadn't done that, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't have all this. I wouldn't be in this place if it hadn't been for you. Yeah, it was evil. He didn't deny that ever. the scripture bears it out. Wow. Because it was the knowledge he got. It wasn't just the position he was in. It was the wisdom that he got through the breaking, through the rejection, through the lie, through the stuff that brought him to the place where he learned and learned how to manage. And he did. Then when he was ready for the management of the world, basically, then Pharaoh called him forth. Thank you, Lord, that when we're ready, you call us forth. And everybody was like, wow, look, you forgave. She forgave. I mean, she really, you know, said, oh, you know, I'm going to set you up. I'm going to bless you. That's why he said to do good, though. Bible says, Regina, to do good to those who despitefully use and fail men of evil against you. Why? Because, you know, and the truth is, because God is using them to bless you. You know, God is using them to, like a Job. Job got double. Why? Because, you know, all the things that happened to him. You look back at it, you go, man, I got double for all that. Wow, it was worth it. It was hard, but it was worth it. I forgive my brothers. Tried to tell me I'd done something wrong. No, God was trying to bless me. In their part, and it had, if they hadn't come against me, if God hadn't told me to forgive those three friends, I wouldn't have double. So if they hadn't come against me, I wouldn't be able to have anybody to pray for to get my double. Double, 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 double. Double your pleasure. Double your fun. Regina, double. 20. Felicia, 20. Thank you, Lord, for Felicia. Thank you, Lord, for the same for God. Yeah, it's just kind of the message tonight. It's kind of the prophetic words kind of based on that, and then goes wherever he goes with it. Thank you, Lord, for every father and mother situation, God, for every person that overlooked her and underlooked her and wheeled and dealed and tried to force her out and force her in, that God, you've taken all of it to teach her how to, you know, hang on to you, that you were her source, not people. Sometimes we don't realize that we make people a source. I've done it. We all do it. Everybody does it all the time. And so what does God do? He brings the things, and we think that person's going to help us, and all of a sudden they turn on us, and they're like, oh, why did they turn on me? I'm a jealous God, Felicia, because I'm jealous. He had too much trust in them. They were going to be the ones that were going to do this. And said, so I wouldn't want to let them do it because I want to be the only one that blesses you. I don't want you. I don't. You know. I know God uses people. All that. But hey, you know, He wants to make sure that you know that it comes from Him. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus, that all things come from Him. Anything that doesn't come from Him, He's going to destroy it. It's going to burn up in the fire. We're going to be thankful for it. Yeah, we're going to be thankful for it. Hopefully it won't be too much, right? Yeah. Thank you, Jesus, for every fault, every failure, every time somebody disappointed her, God, it was because you wanted her. You were jealous of her. You wanted her to look to you on everything at all times. Not that we can't. God is people. God, we sometimes we're going like, okay, God's going to use that person. And as long as we understand that God is doing that and we give Him the glory for it, and we don't get our eyes on the fact that they're doing it, if it wasn't for them, yeah, God used them. When God does use them, you know, God did use them, but God instigated the whole thing. So He's not orchestrating something, and we get our eyes on that person, what happens? He's going to make sure it doesn't work. Why? Because He's purifying our heart. He's jealous over us. He wants us to make sure we give Him all the glory, that everything we have, that none of it gets burned up. Because we got favor from a person, right? We got favor from God. Yeah, that's all we need. God uses people. It comes from people, but the source is God. Wow, what an amazing thing. That we keep it like that always. Never have it any other way. God is always our source. We don't bow to anybody but Him for what we need and who we are. The love that we need. We don't look to a man to give us that. We look to God. And when we look to God, then God is jealous. He goes away over that, you know, and then what does God do? He brings that man. Brings that person. Brings that woman in our life. Whatever we need. All right, Sandra and Robert, $25. Thank you both, Sandra and Robert. God, thank you for giving them an understanding that you're going to, you want to heal all diseases. You want to heal every kind of disease known to man. That Jesus paid the price for that. That's why they had to beat him with 39 stripes. It wasn't because the devil got carried away and they got crazy. No, it's 39 stripes because everything is healed. Everything. Every stripe was opening the door for a person to receive the healing, whether it's mental, physical, spiritual. And sometimes you deal with, deal with mental issues and mental things and things that blockages and things in the mind. And so when those 39 stripes, has something to do with mental disease and why they're there and what's going on with all that. And so I know you touched on that and been around that and been a part of that to different levels and different degrees. And God's, going to show you the power of healing that comes from the stripes of Jesus. And that horrible whipping, beating, stripping his body back and ripping him to shreds. And it's made everybody go, what is going on? The devil's really getting out. That was God. God was using that to bring healing. And when we connect that, Sandra, when we connect that information, then that information becomes the stripe in you that heals the person. Revelation of that stripe and who was doing it and why it was being done wasn't because the devil got out of control and they did 39 because, it was the will and the perfect will of God, that revelation from heaven. It's going to open you up to a whole other level of healing virtue and delivering power in Jesus' name to deliver and cleanse and wash and make whole in the mind. Where people can actually live their life free and do what's right because their mind got healed. What was broken was mended and healed and brought forth and made new. Amen. For Robert, God bless Robert, God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for all the things that he desires and needs and wants, God, those things. I thank you, Jesus, that every one of those things and more come from you. And Jesus showing Robert how to trust you more and more all the time. We trust him for some, he blesses us, if we do right with that blessing, God blesses us to see what we do with the blessing. And once we do right with the blessing, whatever he says, then he gives us more blessings. And then he watches what we do with those blessings. If we do right with those blessings, he gives us more blessings. It's called reward system. And then he builds it and builds up because it's all about trust. It's always also about not wanting to make sure that you don't get messed up by the blessing, right? That you are able to take it one level at a time and grow one level at a time. Amen. You can handle it. So you can walk in it. So you can, that it won't take you down, but you will use his stuff for his glory. Amen. In many different ways. All right. Nikki and Charles, $25. Thank you both for Nikki and Charles. You said, simply said, we love you. Thank you for that. Thank you, Jesus, for Nikki and Charles. God, we thank you for blessing them, keeping them, God. Thank you. When I was ministering that tonight, Nikki said that very message. What an amazing thing that was. And it is in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that by your stripes we're healed. And when we understand the ways of God, Nikki, because we understand his ways. What was the ways of God? Well, the way he got Joseph, where he got him. That was the way of God. Oh, no, the devil got the devil was part of it. But God was orchestrating the whole thing. It was the ways of God. He's dealing with an imperfect world, getting his work done, using whoever, using Pharaoh, using whoever he wants. Hey, Moses, I'm going to be using Pharaoh down there, so get ready. Understand my ways. So we understand the ways of God, then those ways of God work on our behalf. Yeah. Oh, that's just cool of me. God would never harden somebody's heart, people actually say that. Oh, that was the devil all the way. God's never, God said, God told Moses, well, I'm warning you, I'm going to do it. He's going to do it. He said he was going to do it. His heart's going to be hardened, and he orchestrated the whole thing. And when you understand those ways, then those ways open you up to the way, hey, well, there seems to be no way. There's a way. Why? Because we understand the ways of God. Hallelujah. Yeah. Ministry of the Holy Spirit. He moves with those who understand his ways. It's not that we believe in miracles. It's that we understand his ways. The more we understand his ways, the less we hinder what he wants to do and how he wants to do it. Oh, God will never have a man of God blind somebody. No, we're supposed to make them blind at all. Paul the Apostle blinded somebody. More than once. Paul the Apostle gave somebody over to Satan. You'd never hear that preached. Why? Because people don't understand the ways of God, Nikki. They don't understand his ways. So you narrow down the way God can use you. It says, Moses knew his ways, not way, the ways of God. Hallelujah. Think a little for Charles, God. Same thing with Charles. Teaching him how God works, why we get disappointed, why things happen. Anytime we get our eyes on man of any kind, and I've done it, we've all done it, everybody I know has ever done it, you know, it's happened. Anytime we get our eyes on men, if they're our source, then what happens? It just stops. We get, you know, why? Because God says, I'm jealous, and I'm watching, you know, he's going to be your source but me. When you live in that realm, like Abraham told when the kings of Sodom, he said, here's your booty. He said, no, I'm not going to let you get it to me. It must have been a lot. It must have been a whole lot. It must have been tempting. Because he said, I ain't gonna let anybody say they made me rich but God. So what was that a fiction to do? It was a fiction to make him rich. In other words, it was a buku bunch. A buku bunch is a bunch. It was a buku bunch. Man, he could have lived off that for God knows it. But, you know, for some reason, Holy Spirit said, don't take that. Because they're going to say they made you rich, not God. He had to say no. So I'm going to say no to people. Yeah, God's sin, you know, who's your source? Me or them? That thing, that money you need, get your eyes on the money. Needy, needy, needy. Needy, needy, needy turns into greedy, greedy, greedy. And who our source is. Right? Abraham, he's just been, you're not going to ever say you made me rich. Only God can do that. Yeah, God can get all the glory for it. He turned it down, man. I mean, that making you rich. So if it had been, if it wasn't going to make him rich, he wouldn't have lied and said, no. If it wasn't rich amount to make him rich, he would have said, well, nobody can say they blessed me with some good stuff. But God, I don't think it's the only God. No, he said, ain't nobody going to say they made me rich. So it must have been huge. Amazing. All right, Daryl, Paul. $60.13. Thank you, Lord, for that. So the glory of God, for opening Daryl of God to the glory of the Father. Friends, when we do what God wants us to do, the glory rests on us. The more that we do what God says and does, the more the glory of God rests on us. What does glory do? It's the thing that causes us to be blessed. It's the thing that causes us to see. How to give God the glory, how to get the glory of God. The more we get the glory of God in the earth, the more the enemy's plans are thwarted and stopped. And people start seeing, you know, everything works out for good. Everything. Yeah. I want to look at Isaiah 60. Let me know if I can get a chance to look this up. Well, Isaiah 60, I want to read this over you. Go here, give me a second here, but I'm almost there. Okay. There's 60 here. Arise and shine, Daryl Paul, and the glory. Oh, my God, I didn't realize that way. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. What the Lord's saying, the glory, what's it to rise up? 60, verse 1, 60, verse 3. The Gentiles shall come to your light, but the Lord's light.
the kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. And you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy, because the abundance of the seed shall be turned to you, and the wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. The multitudes of camels shall cover your land, and the dromedaries and the Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall proclaim praises of the Lord. Lord, I just bless Daryl Paul, God, that you called him for glory. You called him to glorify the Father, Isaiah 60. Amen. Verse 1, it says, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. In Jesus' name, let it be done, God. Let it be done upon Daryl Paul right now. Jesus, show him your ways, show him your will, your purposes, God, for him. In Jesus' name, he can fulfill, finish what God started in you. Amen. Don't come short of the glory. You're not going to come short of the glory, in Jesus' name. All right, Deborah and Mark, $74. Thank you, Deborah and Mark. Thank you. Today when I remembered, I said, oh, yeah, I had your check kind of there in the truck, and I found it. I said, oh, yeah, I got to make sure we mark this. And when, as I began to just think about y'all for a second, never met you, don't really know you, far as I began to say, I've heard the Lord saying, it was me saying it, but it was the Lord saying through me, he said, I really love them. I went, what? I was going like, you know what? And I felt I started feeling the love of God, Deborah and Mark. I started feeling the love of God. He said, I just really love them. And he was saying, and I can hear him saying to me, through me, to you, I love you. I love you. I love you. And I felt the love of God begin to penetrate and open and bless and nurture. God said, I really love them, Randy. I really love them. They have a heart for me. And all the struggles, all the battles, all the things that you feel like you come up short, God says, I just tell them I love them. And I know this is what he said. And there just, I wasn't weeping, but I was like close to going there. And I'm driving down the road, right? And I can't weep right now because I'm going to like, have to pull over or whatever. I couldn't do it. And it was like, this powerful realm of love being unlocked upon you. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Yeah, and they said, you could tell me, Randy, I love them. I really love them. It was the sweetest thing coming through my spirit. I was going, my God, that's amazing. It was amazing. I just thought, God. And I started praying for you right then, or letting it happen. When I say praying for you, I started letting those words come towards you. That was this afternoon about around 3 o'clock or so, something like that. Between 3 and 4, I don't remember exactly. Wow. I love you, I love you, I love you. Saith the Lord. I love you, I love you, I love you. Saith the Savior, I love you, I love you, I love you. Wow, pour your anointing on them, Jesus. All their troubles, all their sorrows, all the hard things they've gone through, all the bitter things they had to go through, Jesus, that you just pour on your love and you call them for Romans 8:28 for sure. All things work out together for those who love God. Why did the different Mark love God? Because God loved them first. Hallelujah. That's just going to cause everything to work out for good. Everything for the glory of God. Hallelujah. It's going to keep you and watch over you and blessing you and hovering over you. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Jesus' name. Maybe that really was it. I mean, I thought, Lord, I'll deliver it tonight too. Jesus' name. So I delivered it to you right now by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Pour it out on them, Jesus.
Chris, $100. Thank you, Lord, for Chris. Thank you, Jesus, for Chris. Thank you, Lord. Thanks for that great testimony. Thanks for sharing it today, Chris. I told you all that earlier what happened. Chris said on Wednesday night, I started praying over him, seeing this guy that used to work with one of Copeland's friends. He called him out. He's a great man of faith. What his name was, but Copeland called him out. He said, this man is like an amazing faith. He was a farm boy, you know, slash Indian. Like Jeannie said, he kind of looked like an Indian. I ever thought about that word. Yeah, he did kind of look like an Indian. And he was like, his name is Greek, Greek. I can't remember what his name was. I keep thinking, I'm going to get it here in a minute. I even looked it up, tried to look it up today, see if I could find it, but that's not back in the 90s. And, you know, so Chris sent his thing. He said, Randy, you know, when you were given that much, and I said, I've been, he sent me a picture, so I've been digging dirt, moving dirt all week long. So when I was giving him that word, he'd actually been doing something like that during the week, as I kept saying the guy, he ran these big machinery that moved dirt. That was part of the work. And it's really cool. God trying to show you, trying to connect you to not wearing a suit and tie type person and going to Bible school with a little briefcase walking around, but a farm boy type, like at the same time, God saying, a man of faith is a man. And when I call somebody, that's it. It doesn't matter. There's no suit, no briefcase you have to be carrying. Those are cool. I've had them before. But, yeah. So thank you, Jesus, for opening my brother up, God, in Jesus' name, and watering him and nurturing him, Jesus, and satisfying his soul, God. God says, I want you to be satisfied. I've given you great cravings and great desires because I'm going to bring you to pass in Jesus' name. Amen. God's going to show you how to use that faith like he showed that Zeke. Again, I never have gotten his name quite right yet because years and years and years ago. And I only heard of him that one time, as far as I remember. But Copeland still thought he was amazing. So thank you, Jesus, for my brother and the great testimony he's going to have in his life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let it be done. It is a done deal. It's sealed of the Father. Yep, sealed and of the Father. Sealed and done. And God is just trying to confirm. So you actually literally digging dirt that week with a dirt machine, a dirt digger. He sent me a picture of it. Golly. Talk about confirmation. It's just God saying, I'm with you out there with all that dirt. The man of faith. Man of God. Serving the Lord. Amen. Donald and Tanya, 148. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you, Lord, for Donald and Tanya. Thank you, Lord, for Tanya. God, I thank you for the sometimes God does a facelift on us. He'll do something to our face. We come face to face with him. When you come face to face with God, like I see you coming face to face with God. And how we do that today, I don't know exactly, because we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. But like experiencing the face of God, sometimes your face is going to burn. Maybe it's been, I don't know. Your face is going to get hot. And burn with the glory of God. I've had friends of mine who said when the Spirit of God comes on them, it's like they feel their face burning or their head burning, whatever. Yeah, I keep seeing that with you. A God setting his glory upon you so that we all struggle with different things. Everybody has, we all struggle in our mind. We all have anxieties and stresses and things that we go through. And that's all in the mind, all in the brain, right? As well as the soul. And that's why he says, my glory, I keep seeing the glory resting upon your head. So your head, your brain, or your soul will become, free, totally free. Free means no anxiety, no stress. If we have it for a moment, Jesus did have stress and anxiety, but he gave it right away to the Father, right? And that's what God's really showing you how to do. It's how to give, cast your cares upon the Lord and keep them cast upon him because sometimes God will give us cares. He will put things on us and say, okay, now I need you to, I know you can't do it. That's the thing I like about you, but I'm going to show you how to cast that care upon me, cast that care upon. So he gives us a care and then he says, cast it upon me. Like gave Abraham, him Isaac. He said, cast Isaac upon me. Well, he did. God blessed him. But he will put something on you to give to him, to offer to him your heart, your life, your love, your thinking, your fears, your inadequacies, all those things. And because of that care, then he will teach you how to cast that upon him. And when he does, he starts showing his care for you, for he cares for you, and the care of God, feeling cared for, knowing you're cared for. Amen. Men can come short of caring for us like we need. Try really hard, but it's the grace of God. And I thank you, Jesus, for using her to show much care, your care for people, your love for her family, for the children of God. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Much care, much love. Amen. For Donald, God, we thank you, Jesus, for Donald, for making him the man that he already is, in his spirit man. Your spirit man is already the man because it's created in the image of Jesus, the real man. It was a man's man and a compassionate man and a man who, you know, yeah, was dealt with a lot of things. And God's showing you kind of the same thing I'm talking about in a way, because it's about pressure, that pressure that comes on you, that pressure that comes. When pressure comes on me, dude, it's like, you know, I know I'm yielding to God. I'm not perfect. I'm not, you know, but I'm, you know, I'm yielding to God. And when I feel that pressure coming on me, it's like that causes me to, you know, I have to seek him. I have to, because when pressure comes on people, sometimes they seek all kinds of different things. But with us who love God, you know, when the pressure comes, who do we have to seek? You know, people don't have answers. People don't have answers. We've got to seek God. But pressure causes us to, I think that the thing that happened with Paul the Apostle when the thorn in the flesh thing, it was pressure. The pressure was amazing. And yet it caused him, God says, you try to get rid of it. Man, I get rid of this pressure, this thing. Everywhere I go, things happen. Things go weird. You know, whatever the thing is. But the pressure, you know, did nothing but make him come closer to God and get revelation from heaven and see things he'd never seen before. And then he starts saying, you know, I'm glad I didn't get rid of that thorn. That thorn was used to, I got more revelations, because the whole thing was, it was going to give him things so he wouldn't quit getting the abundance, because of the abundance of revelations he got. He wouldn't become pompous and arrogant. A lot of people don't have anything to be pompous and arrogant about, but he did. I mean, that dude got, my God, amazing. And pressure causes us to, when God's your source, pressure does nothing but just presses you in. Pressure that came on him in Gethsemane pressed him in, man, brought him to a whole new place, giving his life. Amen. Something new cooking, something new brewing. The pressure, you know, the Garden of Gethsemane was like the wine press, or the olive press, they say. That's what a lot of people say, the olive press. Because he's being pressed, the pressure. What was he doing, man? That's when, you know, he became so, he was already sold out to the Father, no question about that, but man, he became at a level that was unbelievable. Yeah. And the love that came out of him was amazing. Because the pressure brought love out of him. And then, like you, Jesus, the pressure is going to be love. It's going to bring love, pure love from the Father. Amen. Indrika, $150. Thank you, Lord, for Indrika, for ESW Auto Sales, LLC, $50. Thank you, Lord, for that. We thank you, Jesus, for those opportunities you give, for the doors you give us. That when people knock on the door of ESW Auto Sales, Jesus is going to answer the door and say, yes, may I help you? And he say, is Indrika here? And Jesus goes, yeah? What do you want? He answers the door for you. You know, and like, what do you want? I keep checking and watching over you. Once we get inside that place, inside the door, we knock on the door and get in there. Say, oh, yeah, come on in, Andrika. Chris, come on in. Come on in and get in there. And then we start living there. We start living it. The whole point is living it. Living in that place of blessing. Living in that place of knowing he's with us and, you know, we find out what he cares about, and we start caring about that. The more we care about that, the more he blesses us, and it's amazing. So he comes to the door and says, drink here. Jesus answers the door, right? He answered the door when you came. And he answered the door when they came. Yeah, he's here. What do you need? So he makes sure that, you know, all is well, make sure their motives are right, make sure things are happening. And then he said, okay, if everything's right, he said, okay, come on in. And if not, he rejects them in the first season. In other words, when God opens the door, nobody can come through that door but the ones he lets. If he shuts the door, if he wants to, opens the door to those who are there to bring a blessing. Amen. And to partake and magnify and glorify and multiply and increase things. All right, Tyreek, $10. Thank you for Tyreek. Just bless Tyreek, God. Show him your wisdom. Show him your glory. Give him wisdom, God. All of his getting, let him get wisdom. Let him get knowledge. Let him get understanding. That Tyreek will be a person who understands things that other people will not understand. It'll be simple. Like a genius, when you talk to a genius, they understand mathematical equations. It's like nothing to them. But, you know, even other people, really smart, trying to figure out this. It takes them a long time. But the genius walks there, he just understands it all right. He can see it all right. Other people spend days trying to come to the conclusion, but no, a genius just sees it. So think about that Tyreek, God will just be able to see the areas that he needs to see in. And he will realize that and focus on the things that he can see, that he will help other people see what they need to see. You just need to understand what they need to understand. They will not think wrong about how things didn't work out and blaming people and blaming this and blaming that. They give them understanding on how to trust God. Yeah. Thank you, Lord, for Tyreek, giving him understanding, God, and all he's getting, letting him get understanding and wisdom. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, Torrey. $10. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to show Torrey how to protect his heart, how to guard his heart. Not in a fearful way, but in a way that keeps, because the warfare is basically mostly around one thing. It's not about fighting demons out there and booking up on them so we can, you know, take over. It's really about our hearts and what's going on inside of us. And I think that it's understanding that Tyreek is going to be able to deal things properly. He's not going to be fighting everything out here. He's going to be dealing with, you know, what's going on inside my heart? What's going on? What's going on inside me? He's going to be checking himself. What's happening inside of me? What am I doing? What am I not doing? What do I need to do? What do I need? Because when you make those decisions from here, from in your heart, and fight your battle, like, I'm not going to let the enemy do that. I'm not going to let my heart stray. I'm not going to let my heart have unforgiveness. I'm not going to let my heart look for other things. I'm going to let my heart look for, search after God and search after what's right. Right? Because that, you're always going to win. Winning isn't whooping up on the devil out there and winning something over there. That's fun. That's exciting. But the main battle is right in our hearts. When we win that, by keeping it, keeping our heart, you know, open to God. The devil comes to this warfare thing to get us to fight him and get unforgiveness. You know, the whole point of the enemy knows his strategy. He knows what he's coming after. He makes it look like he's coming after things and stuff. No, he's coming after us. He don't care about things. He said things. He comes after God's treasure, and that's human beings, to get rid of him. But Jesus says, Torrey, you're gonna see through that. Not go for that. Fall for that lie. All right, Victor, $10 for Victor. Thank you, Jesus, for Victor. Thank you, God, for the ability to process information in a way that can know what keep the good and throw away the bad. Like Jesus said, when you gather the fish in from in the net and you catch them, hey, throw the bad ones back and keep the good ones. Right, show them Victor how to do that. To the process of information, what to do with things, and how to, you know, throw things back that aren't going to do any good, and keep the things that are going to do good, and learn how to do that in everything. Jesus is saying, giving wisdom, discernment, knowing. Hallelujah. That way you don't have to deal with it later. just deal with it now. You see it? Okay, yeah, I'm going to throw it back. Keep this. Don't keep that. Yeah. Sometimes I feel like we're losing stuff, but really what we're doing is saving ourselves a lot of trouble. Yeah. All right. That's a big thing. All right, Chris. $10. Thank you, Lord, for Chris. Thank you, Lord, for the power to persuade, the power to understand that sometimes our job is what we're trying to persuade people to do. When we're persuading people to do the right thing, do the good thing, not just for us or for anybody else, but for themselves and for God, then what happens is they start trusting you, going like, man, he really cares about me, cares about what's going on with me, cares about what's right. It's not just about him. It's not just about what he's doing. He cares about people. He cares about what people are doing. And often I'm trying to help them get motivated to do the right thing. So I thank you, Jesus, for Chris. God, for opening him up to that and teaching him the best way to gather to be prosperous is to prosper other people. For good information, where prosperity is truly the realm of information. When we have the right information, we prosper. Like in the market area, you know, you have the right information, make an investment in the right information, you get blessed financially. That's just the way it is. Same thing with any wisdom that we get from God. The greatest thing that makes us prosper isn't, you know, money, having a lot of it, but it is knowing what to do, the knowledge we have, the information we have, how we think. Thank you, Lord, that you have the mind of Christ. God, he thinks like you think, looks at things like you look at them, God, and Jesus didn't like it, not just because people look at him like that, but he looks at him that way because he knows that that's what's right. That's what God would do. All right, Andrika, $10. Thank you, Lord, for Andrika. Thank you, Jesus, for her faithfulness to seek you and find you and seek you and find you and seek you and find you. Asking shall be given, asking shall be given, asking given, asking given, learning how to ask. So what belongs to you, what belongs to your family, what belongs to your, who you are as a person is given to you. That's why learning how to ask. Well, says if you ask, yes, and if you don't get it, right? Yes, when you pray something up to the Lord God, God, the Bible's the first time. He doesn't hear it. He doesn't even hear it. When Paul was praying to get rid of this thorn, he wasn't even hearing that. He said, hey, I don't hear that. I got to do it. No, you can't. So thank you, Lord, that her asking becomes clearer and better. And she's more powerful, more, you know, straightforward and to the point in Jesus' name. And when it can be, and learn how to make it clear and clear and clear. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, God. And then when she knocks, she learns how to knock. A knock tells you everything. You can tell by who's at the door sometimes by how they're knocking, right? So thank you, Lord, for that knocking. If she gets inside that room, then Jesus takes care of her, and nobody can come in except who Jesus allows, right? Yeah. And once you enter into that place and he opens the door to you and you go in, you're in there. You live there. And he answers the door for you. He keeps out what needs to be kept out. He lets in what needs to be let in. Yeah, in Jesus' name. All right, we will. And then thanksgiving to God for his faithfulness to fellas. We'll work less and earn a whole lot more in Jesus' name. Yeah. I just kind of agree with that. That's just awesome, beautiful, precious, amazing, Jesus, that they're asking that, the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. We will work less and earn a whole lot more. You know? I talk about that a lot. The first time I ever prayed that prayer, it was very difficult, especially when somebody asked me to pray. Jenna, why don't you pray? You know, pray. The Lord says, I want you to pray that prayer. I went, God, they're going to think it's, he said, I don't care what they think, just do it. I was amazed that these men, these businessmen, this church that were in, very dignified and very, you know, whatever. And when they heard it, they kind of went, what? It hit them right just like they're like, what? And they went, oh, wow, that's pretty cool. And so it's really, it's effective. And it's, well, the real blessing is that when you knock on the door and you get in, that's what happens. You work less and earn a lot more. And then because Jesus answers the door. You work less. You working less, earn a whole lot more because Jesus is answering that door. You working less, and a whole lot more, because Jesus answering that door. Amen, Jesus' name. All right, Terrence and Tanisha, $334 and then $26 together. Thank you, God, for that. Thank you for that blessing. Thank you, Jesus, for that and everything that you're doing, Jesus. It's $360 altogether. Thank you, Jesus, for $360. Look at the there's a $360 again. $360. Complete turnaround. Oh my God. Did I do that right? Make sure I did that. I just did it right now. 334. I'm going to open that door. Oops. 334 plus 26. 360. Oh my God. That tells you everything. I don't know if y'all added that together or not, but I just did. 334, gonna open that door. 26, yeah. Been taking some licks. This tank created a 360 for you. 334 opens that door. 26, cause you're taking some licks. Like Jesus did. Make it 360. For you, 360 for you. What a way to prophesy, sing some little silly song. 334, open the door. 26, because you've been taking some licks. I'm sorry. I can't. Oh, my God. 334, gonna open the door. 26, because you're taking the VIX. Opens it more. 360. $360. 360. You know, 360 is a complete turnaround. Oh, and Jeff just gave 362. That's amazing. Jeff just sent 360 at the same time. Oh, my God. Yeah. Turnaround. 334, open the door. 26, because you've been taking the licks to get you to that 360 door. The more door, the door for more. More revelation from the Lord. More confirmation that we adore Jesus. He is the door. He is the door. Whoa, 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 he's a 360 door. Hey, y'all, Terrence, he's a 360 door. 334 opens the door. 26, because you've been taking the licks. I love this stuff, man. This is funny. I love the way the Lord prophesied. He's so cool, man. And that Jesus is that door. He's the 360 door. What's 360 door? I mean, he turns it completely around. 360. And then at that same time, you know, I don't know if Jeff's listening to that or not, but either way, it doesn't matter. It's like, I didn't know, you know, so then he sends 360. 360. Yeah. 360. Wow. I was just like, I don't know, I can't believe it. This is what I always want to say. I can't believe that. It's amazing. Timing, 360, complete 360, yeah, for your lives. Both y'all, Jeff and Yuki, and Terrence and Tanisha, all right? One for 1,000, two for 10,000. Okay, here, one second. $360 and $360 is $17. There that is. Wow. I'm just a clown. You can't, I mean, I got to prophesy exactly, you know, the 360 thing, just like, same confirmation of Jeff sending that in there. That was like, 334, open the door. 26, because you're taking the licks. Woo! To the 360 door. Jesus is the only one who can do the 360 door. Because he is that door. It's about him. It's about what he's doing. It's about what he's saying. Wow! My God, I mean, it's a simple word, but just powerful, man. Simple, but complete turnaround. This has happened before. The 360 thing happened, well, I think one time, was that Nicole that happened to? I can't remember. I can't remember how that happened exactly, but the 360 thing, we got on that 360 thing, it's like, my God. Whoa. Because it's all about the door, the 360 door. Because the door is, the 360 door is the door that turns it all around. Yeah, I declare that for Terrence and Felicia. I declare that, decree that. Because their obedience to you, God, is precise obedience to God to 360, to completely turn it around. Complete turnaround. Complete turnaround. All the way. Get all the way. 334. Open the door. 26, because you're taking the lick. Get the door. Jesus' door. Man, this revelation I got, that God has been so gracious to give, open me up, share with his people about this, and it's been mind-boggling. Just, it's just the favor of God, the favor of God. It's called the favor of God. What's the favor of God? His name is 360. 360. You got 360. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Look at this, 33, 3, 3, 4, 3 and 4 is 7, 8, 9, 10. I mean, 34, no, I went, okay, I added up 334. This is just kind of me adding numbers, right? So it's kind of my number thing. 34, then you had 34 to 3, 37, and then 2 is 39, 39 stripes, then 6, left with a 6, 334 is 1, you know, then 26, $26, $334. Add 34 to, and no matter how you do it, 3 and 3 is 6, 4 is 10, Well, yeah. Yeah, 34 and 3 is 37. 2 and the 26 is 39. And 6 means man. The 39 stripes coming from man, like with Jesus, the stripes came from men, but God allowed it. So they're going to be at 360 in people's lives. Taking the lick. Check on the ticker. Interesting. My Lord and my God. Was that ephod? Okay, that's for Jeff and you. 360, that's the word, man. My gosh. I'm glad that I saw that. Thank you, Jesus, for opening my eyes to see that, Jesus, because it's important to do this, especially with the money thing, with the offerings. These are offerings, these sweet-smelling savors into the nostrils of God. That's why they're so important. They speak of things to come. Yeah. All right, awesome. That can't beat that. I mean, that's it, really. All right. Yeah. All right. Nicole, $1,083.30. 1,000, 8333. cool. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Nicole. Thank you, Jesus, for the seal. You know, when God seals something, and you know, assuring you that nobody can take what God has sealed. When God seals something, ain't nobody can take it. Nobody. When God seals something, it's sealed until He breaks the seal. Like the seven seals, like not the seven seals, but the seven trumpets, the seven thunders. Yeah, seven thunders. That, and then Daniel's stuff. Once He said, seal it, it's sealed. We're never going to get it. So God, open up the seals for Nicole. Open them up for Jesus. Open up the seals for Nicole. In Jesus' name, the seals. Because when God, so I keep hearing the word seal, like seals. There's many different ways to look at seals. You know, the seals, like when the seven thunders were sealed, right? He said, do not say what they are. And we talked about this a few months ago, I remember one night during the show, that God was going to open up the seven thunders, break the seal on the seven thunders. Wow. And you're in the book of Revelation. I know that. So that, I know that. I know you're doing that. So thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you, Lord, for opening it up in Jesus' name and breaking the seals on those things, God, so that your word can be declared. Those things that have been secret and kept secret can be expounded on, can be brought forth in Jesus' name, that nothing is hidden. Nothing hidden, not even the things that God has hidden, the secret things. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Okay, hang on a second. Breaking a seal, because He's going to make a deal. He's breaking the seal because He's made a deal? My God, what does that mean? Made a deal. Once that deal's made, that deal can't be changed. Once something's been bought and paid for, you know, like go to an auction or something, once that guy hits the gavel and says, number 37, you just, $14,723, you got it, it's yours. Once that's done. It's sealed. And nobody can take it. Nobody can. So there's something about that. I don't know what that is, Nicole, but that God giving something and no man can take it away. God gave it and no man can take it. Yeah. Jesus' name. Hang on a second here. Okay, give me a second. Hallelujah. Give me just a second here. I'll be right back. Okay, so we're still here on the call. Thank you, Jesus, for that. First been sealed. It's like the whole thing about seals. About what I keep hearing is like, what's been sealed up, God's going to unseal. We're going to see it. You're going to see it. We're going to see it. And you know, Daniel and Revelation, different things that have not been revealed, are going to be unsealed. Woo! There you go. Things have been. Not being revealed or being unsealed. That's what we live for, right? the unsealing of it. I mean, what is the generation that you can unseal that stuff? Oh, my gosh. What does that mean? It means everything. It means we're the generation chosen by God to do this thing. Yes, we are. And I don't mean that lightly either. I mean, I'm talking like big time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This whole seal thing, I'm trying to get a hold of this, but it's pretty amazing. Yeah, okay, Nicole, you know, I know you dream about that as well as those who love the scripture and love Revelation. That's what we look forward to, is this breaking of those seals or the unsealing of things that have been sealed. Yeah. Wow. And also that things that once God seals them, and you know, that's it. It can't be taken, can't be robbed, can't be stolen. Done deal. So God's really going to settle your heart about things that He sealed. Like when He says, "I open the door, no man can shut it. When I open the door, nobody can shut that door. No man can shut it. When I shut the door, nobody can open it." You know, that whole thing about the whole room. And thank you, Jesus, for that place, for that thing, for that dwelling place, of the secret place that we long for, Jesus, to live with you, to abide with you, to dwell with you, to live in you, in Jesus' name. Nothing like it. Nothing ever will be like it again. In Jesus' name, we live for that. We are the generation. It's like the Lord's saying, we are the generation that's going to see that happen. We're going to see that happen. Wow. That's amazing. And that's why God has you on Revelation. Because the timing, it's about time. He's been talking to you, revealing to you things about timing. You know, PGN thing, what we did, the Antichrist name, that was a timing thing. Different things have been timing things. And so the timing thing and then the seals kind of mixed together there. Yeah. So that, for the work of God to be done. So Satan can't stop it. No human being, no man can stop it. Because men do things for evil. And also prepare yourself for evil. People going to try to do evil things at times. But guess what? We don't have to fear evil because we know He's with us, right? But that timing thing is a huge thing with God. And when you get in that timing thing, that's with me. When I started getting into the timing, you know, timing, it's happening time, that happens certain times, all the little timing things you just can't put together, no way you can put them together, and it's God. That's just the biggest signal that we have about timing. Because timing is a hard thing to do. Timing is a hard thing to read, hard thing to know. Most people can't do it. You know, I mean, it's only God can, you know, make it known. Timing. There's times and the seasons, which the Father has put in His hands. Yeah, it's amazing. And we're going to see those things. It's a holy thing. It's a pure, lovely, holy thing to, you know, to see that. Come to pass. They were actually in that time and in that season. Wow. All right, Shannon, $20. Thank you, Lord, for Shannon. Thank you, Jesus, for the timing with things in his life, God, for opening his eyes, opening his mind with your word, eating the bread of heaven, like with communion and with, you know, other ways we eat the bread, his word, that you open his eyes, God, and show him, God, that we don't think when we strain at a gnat and swallow a camel, the ways that we do that, you know, I've been probably one of the world's worst at that at times, and God's having to open my eyes to show me things, and when he does, we're like, man, why didn't I see that before? Because I couldn't see it. That's right. When we can't see, right? And when we can, our eyes get open, we can see it, and once we see it, we receive it. Once we see it, we walk in it. Like, you know, wow, I didn't know the light just turned on the room. You don't have to feel around and make sure you don't trip. You know, the light gets turned on, you can see where to walk, which way to go. I thank the Lord for that with my brother God in his life and his future family and all that, that he will be able to, he will turn the lights on so he can see. He doesn't have to spend hours crawling around trying to figure out where am I at and I can't see anything. And yet when the lights are turned on, it's like all that ends, right? You're just like, oh, now, wow, I can see. You just get up and you know, 3 seconds, you're done what you need to do. You can't even find it when the dark's gone. You know, you're going in that room to find a certain, you can't even find it. You don't know where it's at. You can't see. Right, when the light is turned on, boom. Look, you see it right there. That's the difference between light and darkness. And I think the book for that glorious light in my brother in Jesus' name, the glorious light of the gospel, the true gospel of Jesus Christ, not some phony, fake, bunch of half-baked lies that the enemy tries to tell the church, but the truth. The real truth and nothing but the truth in Jesus' name for my brother to bless him and cause him to prosper and be blessed and know that you are with him, God, in his darkness and his times of not knowing what to do. And we all have to deal. We don't know what to do. All the apostles said we don't always know what to pray. If you don't know how to pray, man, what are you going to do? You know, your prayer life is what changes things. So, you know, if we don't have to pray as we ought, but the spirit inside of us groans and travails because he, you know, God wants his will done more than we do. He can just get us to halfway agree with it. But we wholeheartedly agree with it. Like, my God, watch out. Here it comes. Thank you, Lord, that you come into agreement with it in Jesus' name all the way, God, all the way. And bless him, Jesus. Encourage him. Let him know you're going to show him. It's going to happen. You're God. Angela Joy, $40. Thank you, Angela. And she's saying, thank you, Lord, for Angela. I really thank you for her life. I thank you, Lord, for the courage given her father to stand upright and speak the truth and know the truth and live in the truth in a way that she never has in her whole life, God, but she's always wanted that, desired that. And now, God, you're going to bring it to pass where she knows the truth. The Bible says that my sheep know my voice. You know, we shall know the truth and the truth shall, you know, set you free. And it's like that whole realm of knowing the word, you know, knowing the word is knowing Jesus. So anything we know about the word, it doesn't line up with what Jesus is and does, then we know it's not him, right? So when we see that, it gives us, then we're able to open up other people's eyes. So they start seeing the true and living Jesus. Angela, what God is showing me, and what I think is what this word's about for you, is that, you know, people are seeing the wrong Jesus. They're seeing a Jesus, but seeing the wrong one. It's kind of like him. That's some of their stuff, but it's not really him. You know, and they mean well, and the gospel, that's my fault. If anybody preaches any other gospel than that what I preach, that can be a curse. Why? Because it's the wrong Jesus. This isn't about some message of the gospel. Well, if you can mix it up a little bit, it's still Jesus. No, it's not. It's the accursed. It's the cursed thing. Yeah, it's the cursed thing. It's the cursed. Jesus isn't cursed. He cursed on the tree, but you know, Paul said, if anybody can, it can be a curse. Why? Because if Jesus is preaching the gospel, the gospel of faith, put fear on people, you can lose your salvation if you sin a certain sin, or if you have unforgiveness, you're going to hell. They don't even really, you know, the Bible's not being made known to people. The Christ, the true and living Christ, isn't being made known to people. They got a false Jesus going on. He would never say, oh, yeah, you know, once you get born again, you know, you can lose that. I used to believe that. I believed it for years. God had to take me by the hand and convince me. And believe me, it took a lot of convincing. But he did. And what I do now is I reveal the living Christ to people. Not some phony, fake, something that looks like him, smells like him. No, it's him. And they live in torture and torment. They live in troubles and fears and disease and sickness comes upon them like nothing. Like they have no protection. Obviously, that's what being cursed is. Any other gospel, let him be a curse. Paul was cursing people. He's saying, hey, if you don't preach Jesus, you're not going to be protected and kept. So you're going to be open for all kinds of stuff. Are you thinking of salvation because you committed adultery? Well, adultery's horrible. It's going to mess you up bad. You know, if you get it right. And it's not going to send you to hell. You know, unless a person that lives in that, they're just not born. You can't live in that. You can't live that lifestyle. You can't keep going and doing it. You know what? you'll be so tortured, you know, the Holy Spirit won't let you. You know what I believe? I believe that, I'm not saying people will take the mark that are truly born-again Christians, but here's what I think, this is what I think. All right, I think that, let's say tomorrow the Antichrist put out the mark, and the mark is like, you know, whatever it is, and some Christian gets deceived and starts going to take it, you know, the Holy Spirit's going to do, he's going to kill him. Yeah, he'll take him easy, make it easy on him. They'll just be dead, you know. Like in Egypt when the Egyptians died. Now, they just died. There was no torture, no torment. They just like went to sleep, like it's over. I think some Christian tried to mess up something. I think he'd just get Jesus, the Holy Spirit, be right there saying, hey, you're going down, you're going to do that. You're not going to let him do it. You're not going to let people do that. It's not going to happen. He'll kill you for your own good. And God would you, if you saw your child fixing to do something, going to ruin their whole life forever? No, you take them out. Save them from that. You saw them fixing to ruin their life forever, and it never would change, and you knew that once they did that they would never be the same person again? No, you wouldn't let them do that. You saw them doing that, you'd get a gun, you'd shoot them. You're not going to spend your life, you know, eternally. No, I think most people do that. I think he'll just whack people and try to start doing things. I think he does it today. Trying to mess with his work too much, you start getting deceived and doing the wrong thing. You know, it's not about going to hell or heaven. If you're born again, you mess with God's stuff, he's going to whack you. Because he's going to get his will done. You're messing up his stuff, you're going down. It's not a thing of one person better than the other. It's like it's about God's will, not about the person. He will whack you. Be careful what you're interfering with. And I mean that with all my heart. I know I've seen it happen many, many times. I've seen him deal with people for their own good. Like Paul the Apostle was saying, for the saving of his, cast give over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, saving his spirit, say the Lord. You know what he's saying? He said, I'm going to, you know, I will take you out before I let you do that. God's heart, man. Take you out. Okay. All right, let me double check everything and see if that's it for tonight. Okay. Maybe there's something up there. That 360 thing was hot, man. Oh, my God. All right, Lisa, $17.27. Thank you, Lisa. $17.27. All right, Lisa, $17.27. All right, I want you to put anything in there to play. Okay, give me a second. Okay, let me down here, give me a second. Okay. We almost got it. For Lisa. That's what she wrote up here. Okay. Devante. Yeah, okay. For Devante. Devante is requesting prayer. Oh, good. Okay, yes. Thank you, Lord, for Devante. God, we thank you, Lord, for
you know, the things that he learns them in a permanent way. He didn't just keep, you know, ever learning, not come to the knowledge of the truth. When we learn, oh, I shouldn't have done that, and then we go back to doing it the same mistake in a different way. Ever learning come now, not coming to the knowledge of the truth. So I thank you, Lord, that my brother will come to the knowledge of the truth. In other words, when we make a mistake, we just don't go back and make the same mistake in a different way. Because we don't understand the general reason why that mistake happened and why it messed us up. You know, because we're all learning. We're all growing. I mean, you know, ever learning not never comes to knowledge of the truth means, you know, you go, oh, I learned that I shouldn't have done that. But then you go do the same thing in a whole different way, and it just ends up being the same thing. So coming to the knowledge of the truth means ever learning, and coming to the knowledge of the truth means that you actually learn the principle, the ways of God. You learn the ways of God, not just, oh, yeah. So you learn the ways of God, and we learn the ways of God. Then you just don't do it again. It's when you come to the ever learning and coming to the knowledge of the truth is the answer, right? You're just not going in circles. Oh, I didn't do that same thing again. No, you did it a different way, but you did because you understand that the principle of what you're doing, you know. So we understand the principle, the ways of God, then you go, oh, now I know why that's getting messed up. Why I keep going in circles on that? Because I'm doing the same thing in a different way. Yeah. All right. No big deal. We learn, grow, and move on. Thank you, Jesus, for that, for teaching him, showing him that the Holy Spirit will lead him and guide him in all truth, God, and that he will not fall short and stay short. Sometimes we fall short, we just don't want to stay short. Get back up and go again. Amen. Until our hearts are changed. Yeah, sometimes we have to keep pursuing God until our heart is changed. Having a change of mind doesn't really do a lot. And when our hearts change, that's different. Then we start doing things with a different reason, different motive. Thank you, Lord. We just break every hindering thing, every hindering spirit that would lie to him and deceive him, give him the same thing wrong in a different way, think he's doing the right thing. Open his eyes to that, Jesus. Let him see that he's called and chosen by you to walk with you and to live with you and to know you. Open him up to that, Jesus. Without being like mama or daddy or whoever. Being like Jesus in you, Christ in you, the hope of the Lord. Amen. And for Lisa, thank you, Lord, for Lisa, God, that God, you know, when we pray your prayers, you listen. When we don't pray your prayers, you don't listen. So, you know, may her prayers not be in vain ever. May she learn how to pray the never in vain prayer. Always going somewhere prayer. Always meaning something prayer. Always the will of God prayer. Jesus said, when he raised Lazarus from the dead, Lisa, he said, you know, and I'm praying this out loud only for one reason, so that they will know, because you always hear me, God. You always hear me, Father. Why do you always hear him? Because he always prayed the will of God. Because it says in 1 John, if you don't pray the will of God, he doesn't hear you. So Jesus said, you always hear me. I think a little bit, you build that within her, God, where she prays, she always prays the will of God, always. No matter what it costs her, no matter what she thinks, no matter what anybody else thinks about it, she prays the prayer you give her, God, so that... Yeah, but paying the price. And, you know, to get the will of God done in Jesus' name. That way it's done, it's finalized, and we move on to the next thing. Not going back to the same thing over and over again. But you're moving us forward, God. You're moving us forward in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Okay. Nicole just gave 888. Yeah, for new beginning. I agree with that, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the new creations, the new inventions, like God giving inventions. I know I have an invention going on right now. I've had inventions before. I don't know what you mean by that exactly. Hang on a second. So that inventive thing in you, giving new ways to do things, the new creation, the new ways to look at things, the new way to process information, the new ways to, you know, new beginnings, new life, new everything. So the way we process, the way we, you know, we look at things in the new. Jesus brought forth the new.
people that looked at things in the old, none of them really could understand who Jesus was because they kept seeing things according to the old law, according to the old things. You know, it was all old. But thank you, Lord, you're giving her a new beginning in Jesus' name, a complete new beginning in Jesus' name, spirit, soul, body. Hallelujah. They're giving her new inventions, creating ways that you like. Some of the things you do with your teaching stuff is you give people ways to understand how to look at the book of Revelation, like the movie thing, the, you know, giving the little nippet of something, you know, and then showing the movie. So, you know, all those things that you did that God's given you to give, you know, inventions, like inventing, you know, or creating ways to look at things so people can understand it. And I think the Lord, that's part of her life, part of her passion, part of her will is to, you know, help people understand how to break things down and understand them. That's what teachers want. Teachers want people to, they want to be able to teach people in a way that they'll get it. My teachers couldn't teach me. I had to have my best friend, one of my quarterback friends back in high school. He was a smart guy. We were best friends. We were friends. He was a quarterback of the team, and I was the running back, and they needed me to be on the team because I was, you know, just one of the boys. But, yeah, a running back. You need running backs. He was a quarterback. So he took me personally and taught me. And when he taught me, I got it. That thrilled him more than anything. He's now the principal of a high school in Moose Jaw, Texas. And he was very, very good at it. And he lived for what he did for me, you know. He made me successful because he taught me how to learn. God, he gave it to me in a way I could get it. And I went, wow, he loved that. He thrived on that. Like I say, now as a principal in Moose Jaw, Texas. Yeah, Gene Sheets is his name. I guess he's still alive. I don't know how to check later, but yeah, and then when you have that, God gives you inventive ways, creative ways, inventions on how to help people get things. Because you live for that. All the apostles lived for that. He said, I pray that your spirit of wisdom, revelation, and knowledge of Christ Jesus, you will receive, because his whole passion wasn't just about him having it and sharing some nuggets with people. No, he was wanted to bring it in a way that they could get it. They could pick up and run my sheep so my sheep would know my voice. That's the passion that Paul had, is that my sheep would know my voice. And when the sheep know the voice, we're gonna go places, and it's gonna be amazing when the sheep go. We all go together. Not about the shepherds going, about the leaders going, it's about everybody going together. Amen. So if people can't learn it and get it, then they're not going to get it. Thank you, Lord, for those creative ideas with Nicole. In Jesus' name, and give people new beginnings, new ways of seeing things, new understanding of, you know, how to look at stuff and how to process information. Yeah. Don't you love this stuff? I love this. I love revelating, man. It's my favorite. That's why I like praying for you. When I start praying for you, I revelate. So when I'm revelating, I'm happy. I'm not revelating, I'm not happy. I'm not. I'm just not. I was born to revelate. And you guys are too. You're born to revelate. Got to get a hold of it and learn how to do it and keep it going by giving it away. The thrill you get of getting it and giving it is nothing like that. It's an addictive. It's truly addictive. And it's a good addiction. One you can't live without. The kind of Jesus you can't live without. Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that may be it. 1222. 1222. 222. Oh, that's 1223. All right, man. What a cool night this has been. My gosh. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Everything you do, everything you show us, oh Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We break in the prayer, you multiply, Jesus. Everybody loves and everybody gets fed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody gets the bread. Everybody loves to be led. Everybody walk together with Jesus. Mm-hmm. All right, y'all, I'm going to call it a night tonight. I guess that's it. Thank you. Let me check one more time, make sure that I don't miss anything. Awesome God. He's an awesome God. What a night. Oh, my God. What a teaching God gave us tonight. My God. I mean, I don't know about y'all, but I didn't expect that to come out like that. Dear Jesus, that was amazing. You give the glory, God, for that beautiful, beautiful information. Hoo-ah! Wow. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Ain't nothing like it. Nothing like Jesus. All right, y'all, I'm going to call it a night. Thank you very much. We love you, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.